lot of good specials in these little ones down front, so this is your night. And with that,
would you like to give the invitation? Everybody, this is Reverend Tony McGee, and he's with the Wilmington Christian Center. I've known Tony for a good while now, and I think we are on the same path, the way we think about the way things should be run. So I'm going to turn it over to Reverend McGee, and I'm on top of his prayers.
First of all, here's and quick. Heavenly Father, we just come to you right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, first of all, we just want to lift up these precious children. Father, we pray your continued blessings, your protection, your instruction upon their lives, Father, they would in fact grow up in great American citizens in the tradition of the great American ideals that made this country what it is, that they'll be God-fearing, and they'll be patriots in the truest sense of the word. And Father, I just pray for this meeting. As each person expresses himself, that there'll be an intention and a purpose, Father, to bring glory to the kingdom and to be a blessing to the community. I thank you, Father, for the invitation and the opportunity to pray. And I pray, God, you'll continue blessings upon this city, upon this mayor, upon these leaders. Thank you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Y'all like to join us in the pledge of allegiance?
Of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I would like the ladies from the street festival that are here to come up. Come up. Y'all don't know how much fun it is to be liaisons to a committee with eight women. I'll tell you what to do. Man, let's all get. We missing somebody? Our chairperson is in Myrtle Beach. Her husband is an accomplished artist, and they are picking us an award he wants
today.
And Bill Key. Now, I'm going to scoot over here. You ladies, let's see. Perfect. Gabby, you here?
He wants to get his camera.
Ladies, if y'all will, do a semicircle over here so y'all can get in these photos. Where's the police chat? You guys know these high school person. This is Jim Newman, one of our commissioners. He was on fire call. He's a volunteer fireman. And Jim, we appreciate what you did tonight. Whatever it was. Now, we have a little award ceremony, and I hope everybody here is aware that the children that are going to receive these awards tonight were the first place winners in their grade category for designing the Curie Beach Street Festival Church.
Curie Beach rocks. Yeah.
This, as you can see, this is your proclamation. That's telling you how much we appreciate your help. This is your award for your good work. And as you see, she's going to be a future architect because this is the first year she's exactly which kind of fish it was. That's not the thing. It has nine legs. need a photo of all those stuff.
Allie. Allie, you're the award. She's our second grade winner. There's your proclamation. From Town Charity. And here is your original artwork framed for you. Thank you so much. Okay, sir. Oh, Carter's our first place winner in the third place. Here's your award, sir. Oh, sorry. Here's your proclamation. Server did. You are cold. Thanks for your good work. We appreciate it. There's your award.
Oh, these students.
This is helpful all of
them.
Your proclamation and her original artwork. He gets such hard work, he rubs his hand. Where did And your original artwork. And this, of course, everybody sees as our new logo for Pure Beach. It was 09, but since we're using this in another campaign. Thank you. And we should share all of y'all that are in politics.
Okay, so I'm going to do this.
And a curtain of
salt. We next have presentations of council. We switch this around.
We got to switch around.
We've got to put a screen up for the same presentation. So, Maximum Designs, the representative will come forward. We'll take your presentation now.
See, they have to have a protector, so we have to set up.
They have to have a protector?
Oh, no.
No, what? You're not going to have a protector. Hello, Nate. Have you got the other stuff? You have a card.
You're really pretty.
going to present some of the work tonight. We have presented us with a package of some of the work. And we have, Mayor Pro Tem and I had lunch for the last week, and we've asked him to give us a proposal. We're doing a professional portfolio called we're going to go after some private donations to finish our ocean front park. And with that said, Amy, would you like to introduce one first year or so?
Let me just give a quick overview of who we are. Kelly and I are owners of Maximum Design and Advertising. We specialize in destination and lifestyle marketing. Destination, obviously, this is a wonderful destination, and lifestyle, people aspire to your lifestyle. What we've been brought in to submit a proposal for creating a package for your council to go and seek private funding. So based on our experience, creative, and our over 11 years of marketing experience, have put together a proposal on creating such a piece. So we're here to answer any questions that you may have, to show you some samples of our work if you're interested, and to any clarification on the proposal.
Kelly, do you have anything to add?
No, I'm here for question and answers.
Okay. Well, we have your proposal in front of us. Gentlemen, I assume you have all had time to read it. And when Chuck and I initially contacted these ladies, what I had in mind is, since we're going to go after private funding, we need a professional portfolio that describes what we, what our vision is for the park. We also need private partners. We're still on $1.1 million on the park, and we would like to get that debt behind us before we start construction. Some of our construction grants are going to limit us in the time frame we have, so we need to move ahead with this. And with that said, do any of the commissioners have any questions?
Yes, I didn't understand why we had three different proposals. And explain those to you. It seemed like that there were one for 50. I'm talking about the different pricing.
Uh-huh.
You know, you've got one that's $5,000 and then another is $3,000. I didn't quite understand how it all ties together.
The first line item is for creative, and that's what creative means. Copywriting, the research, photo selections, actually designing the whole piece, the concept of the piece. So the pieces that we brought you can see they're pretty diverse in the layout and functionality. So the creative also involves us coming up with a piece that is functionally correct for your purposes. The next line item is the print and production. That's actually physically making the pieces.
Okay, well, I understand that, but I guess what confuses me is when we're talking about the creative part, and you say that's where you come up with the ideas and the intellectual properties, and I was under the impression that those intellectual properties were going to become the towns, but according to some of the other things here, it says that you retain the rights to the intellectual properties.
Upon full payment, we return that those rights belong to you.
I guess I missed that part or something.
And I think what you're saying is we summarized in this proposal, we summarized the estimate for the creating and the estimate for the production, and then those back two copies are actually the contract statements, and in that contract it says that we don't, as some agencies do, we don't retain any rights to any of the creative. Once upon full payment, and the final artwork is turned over to you and does belong to the town. However, if we use any photography like that, those are issues between the photographer and the town of Brightsville Beach.
So then we would have to, if we wanted to use, say our marketing department wanted to use some of these photos that are in our marketing brochure for funds and everything, we might have to make a deal with the actual photographer that took those pictures before we could use those in our marketing committee.
Correct.
If we come and personally take those photographs for you, which we do for some of our clients, particularly if there's a budget constraint, and we feel pretty confident in our abilities and any photo corrections and things like that, those would belong to you. But if you, and I think Chuck, you and I were talking about, if you actually hired a professional photographer, like a Harry Taylor who shoots bald head, then that's, in the use of those photographs, that has to be negotiated between the town and...
So that would be in addition to what we have.
Jim, you have a question?
No, bottom line to me is, as much as I hate spending money, and I spend a little to get possibly a lot.
Well, I'm going to just say that I know these ladies work, and I'm actually going to not participate in the voting tonight because they have done work for one of my principal contractors, so I want to excuse myself from the voting tonight, but I know how successful the work that they've done for people that I know personally, and with that said, I'm going to, like I said, I will exclude myself.
Just one other question. Getting back to this with photographic intellectual rights, any idea of what that might cost?
You know, like even with construction, you know, in this market, it's a lot cheaper than it was. I mean, for example, we have used Harry Taylor before and recently, and he's come out and done a 3-day shoot, and it's been $900. You know, you can have some photographers that we've used that will come out and do a 1-day shoot, and it's $3,000. But I think for our purposes and from what I've already seen, obviously a lot of it is going to be use of the rendering itself. And then, like I said, I think we feel pretty confident that we can take photography, particularly of the site and of the beach and of the area.
What would help in that estimation is once we come up with a concept and the actual flow of the piece, we would know what type of photograph to support the information that we create, and that's when we go to the photographer and say, this is what we need, and that helps. So he doesn't think, okay, I've got to concept all this out, I've got to create, you know, the more we give him, the better it is, the easier it is, therefore the cheaper it is. So we would have an exact cost for you. It's not an open-ended, you know, budget line item. It is something that once we come up with the concept, then we would bring the photographer in and say, okay, we need 5 pictures. This is the content, and he would give you an estimate.
Okay. Now, as I understand it, what we're talking about is $8,000. Correct?
That's correct. Tommy?
I say we really need to think about this before we do it, gentlemen.
We have a side of the hand in the back.
Yes, I'm just kind of curious if I understand the process. We have 3 outstanding photographers and our members of our community already. And I'm like, why aren't we utilizing the resources that are right here instead of outsourcing?
Well,
we agree. I mean, we are not photographers. We would actually prefer
I actually think from my experiences with them with the chamber and other events that they could probably produce the concept that you're looking for at a much more frugal cost.
Well, I think all of us would suggest that they use locals, you know, and then they don't think that their quality or whatever or their cost are in line with what they need, and we move on. But,
that's what I'm hoping. So
we all let us sit up here and use the most local talent as we can.
Exactly. And that is, as far as that goes, when we go into the procurement and production, we always look within the region, you know, the community in which we are, because obviously we understand being a local business that people thrive on that. And that could also in turn generate lower the cost.
Right.
But we also bid out the project because sometimes, and then the bids are presented and it's your choice. Because a lot of times, unfortunately, the locals are more expensive because maybe the facility's not as big. That's not our decision. That's your decision.
Well, for instance, I know Curie Beach Town Hall is a member of the chamber, and there's a member-to-member discount. And the photographers, we have 3, again, outstanding photographers, if not more, they participate in them that with a member program.
True.
And there's a substantial discount right there.
Okay.
That's
great. So that's probably the honest truth about this. When we hold up and give our decisions at the next week or two, how about we do it, gentlemen? I think we need to think about this very seriously before we make up our minds. I'll do it seriously. I think we need to think about it very, very hard before we do it.
I have a few more questions to ask you.
Yes, sir. If I'm understanding this correctly, the $8,000 is just for the content and the estimate for the design for the production printing.
Correct.
The photography would be something that would be entirely separate in addition to those two.
Correct.
We could negotiate anything.
Right.
The $5,000, it says that that's a creative estimate not to exceed. And it looks like from the schedule that we'd actually have a rough draft of what you're proposing within 3 weeks and a final proof within 6 weeks.
Correct.
So for $5,000. Well, I'm having a hard time understanding what we're buying for $5,000 in 6 weeks.
I think it might help with some of those pieces that we have laid out there, some of the lifestyle brochures. What this piece needs to do is it needs to act as when your representatives leave the table. It needs to tell the story of what you're seeking funds for. And it needs to do this in a very concise and efficient manner. And so that's what we need to design this piece to do. Is it a portfolio? How are you going to do leave behind? How does it, you know, is it going to fold out? Is there a history of Curie Beach? Does it need to go into that detail? Is, you know, how is the park going to be used? What are some of the structures?
What you're getting for this also is our experience. We have over 20 years of experience in doing this. So we know how to write, we know how to build the functionality of a piece to have a compelling message, to meet your objective. I think that I would be misleading you and saying it's just the prettiness of it. It's much more than that.
And then the printing cost, and I'm not sure if any of these are comparable to what we're talking about, but we're going to get 50 pieces for $3,000, which is $60 a piece.
Well, then that's what I was explaining to Chuck earlier. That at some point, and there are some still discussion on exactly how many pieces you need. So depending on what this piece is, if it's a lower quantity, we were hoping, because we still want it to have the bells and whistles and things that we need. Maybe it's tabs, maybe it's a folder to cover the binding and stuff like that. It may have to be handwork inside our shop. If you need 250 or 500 pieces the way it turns out, then that's something that can go into a printer's house and your cost per piece comes down. So by not having the final design, we don't. That's why we said not to exceed. We now have a budget that we can't exceed, but we don't know exactly what the piece is going to look like.
Yeah. Once we come up with a concept of the piece, we do a mock-up and then we get it out to print, and then we will present you with the. Okay, these are costs A, B, and C, but first we can't get an estimate on the actual production until we've actually come up with what the piece is.
Their explanation to us, they have to depend on, like this one came with a box, so it's got the fancy paper.
I see what all of these are, and I'm not, trust me, I'm 100% behind this idea. The mayor and I spent a couple hours talking about it and trying to think about it, and I agree with Commissioner Dugan that we need to invest some money to get some money. But I'm trying to relate these presentations, which you described as lifestyle presentation, with something that, for example, if the mayor goes to his hometown of Winston-Salem and meets with the vice president of generosity for R.J. Reynolds, I'm trying to understand what that will be handing to that person.
See, that's the neat part about this, and is like we could go in and say that we want to call the walkway or something, or name the building or something, you know, the R.J. Reynolds Learning Facility, or the R.J. Reynolds Memorial Path or whatever. I mean, we have the ability, particularly with a smaller number of brochures, we can go in and we can make that say it on the rendering. We can actually, you know, customize each one of these presentation folders to do that in telling the story.
But then the production cost goes back up from...
But not to exceed.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that it's important that the end result of the piece, it needs to be compelling enough that it needs to show the emotion, and it needs to show... it needs to show how the work of this area, and I think that the personality, and it doesn't just need to be words on a page. We need to be able to tell the story and to show the clear benefit for both the town and the person sponsoring these components. And so each component that we are, the packages that we're putting together, need to tell that story and evoke that feeling that, yes, this is something that I want to be a part of.
Okay, so that's just, and I'm not trying to belabor this, but we are, you know, sort of trying to do something here on the fly, and I want to cover the, in the terms of agreement, it says that additional services including, but are not limited to, corrections, alterations, additional things, changes in the extent of work changes, and the schedule changes in the scope of projects, any changes made after client approval, will be billed as an additional cost at the hourly rate of $125 an hour, or at our cost plus 20% markup. If, for example, in 3 weeks you submit an initial proof to client, and we make edits or revisions to that, and then you submit a second proof to client, are those edits and revisions and changes, alterations and additional proofs, are those billed at the $125 an hour, or
no.
How do we know when that meter starts clicking?
That covers us for when we present a concept and it's approved, the creative direction is approved, then we'll come back and here's a copy, and we go through proofing, first, second, third proofs. What that covers us as if we go to a client with the creative concept is approved, and we're going down one road, and then they say, I want to go over here, and so we have to start over. That's what that covers.
So if you present us with an additional proof that says the oceanfront park at Wrightsville Beach, you're not going to charge us.
You might build a number and all that.
You're not going to charge us $129 an hour to get our name.
Yeah. And it also helps, too, is like say that it's already on press and we're seeing press proofs, and then all of a sudden you want something changed, or, you know, the buildings have changed or something along those lines, then those are costs.
Mr. Attorney, have you had an opportunity to read the terms of the agreement, or
not sure?
You got a memo?
Matter of fact, I'm looking for it.
Genesis Packers. It's in this brochure. And it's after you...
I gave it to you Saturday.
You gave it to me?
Yeah.
Where'd you put it?
You're sitting in these office, Andrew.
Thank you, Tom.
You're sitting
in these office.
Candice, did you have a question?
I do. Don't know if it's appropriate at this point. Tell me that. Are we going to have the Food Lion Ocean and the BB&T... Is that what we're aiming for?
There's a lot of check they come up with. Yeah. And if R.J. Reynolds were to donate $750,000, I would definitely name that building after. If Progress Energy were to donate $1 million, we would definitely name that park.
I don't think we can make it park.
We've already made a deal. We'll have their name all over.
Yeah.
What the canvas and labor was designed, and donation prices for the swings. There will be a walk of fame that you have. You can buy bricks, but this thing's set up to sell it off in parts. The Hot Rod would have a sponsor.
You're not renaming the ocean?
No.
What's the offer?
Mr. Gilbert.
What do we have any idea of the number of prospective donors we will be approaching? How big is that list?
25.
No, it's more than that.
So it's 150.
So the problem is this is before you go into it directly.
Well,
you leave three or four could be the problem. You've got to think about like our guy here. And what I'm going to have to take the route. So you don't know how many copies. Might be 25.
Okay, well,
150 of these.
The second part of my question is, will each donor that we're going toward be individually targeted? And I wanted to make sure that we're, yes, with an individually targeting brochure.
I don't know that it would have to get that detailed.
Yeah, I don't, that comes into, you know, how the design, and when we sit down and figure out exactly how these are going to be presented, I mean, that's discussion. So
well,
that's part of the design.
Can we somehow classify each of our donors under a certain classification and then break it down? Those classifications to the specific brochures or literature that we are going to try to
sell. The chair of the trust that individual donors have a kind of a parameter that they donate to, you know, like the Golden League. They've got a pretty wide parameter because that was set up out of the tobacco and settlement monies with states, so they don't, you know, anything in the public. And Doris Duke, she has, I think, three criteria that she will donate to her foundation for Doris. But they all have specific things that they like to sponsor. And we would go down to them, check and balance it.
Okay.
Who would be most successful for that?
Okay. In other words, we're going to have a certain classification on. Say this, these are the Doris Dukes and the RJ Reynolds, and that we're going to design a program targeted towards them. And then if we have like banks or financial institutions, they would have another targeted type of. Correct? They would be targeted in possibly a different way?
I don't know how much, how different they would need to be. I mean, if you're talking about it being personalized, that's easy to do. But I don't know how much the content, now the packages, obviously, depending on what level of sponsorship they would fall into, we can customize the packages that way. And these are just things that before we developed the concept fully to say, okay, we're going to need three different versions, we're going to need two different versions, and that way when we do the binding, when we concept out the binding, we know, okay, well these need to be hand put together, or these need to be 50 of these, 50 of these. So those are just questions that work, if we move forward, we just need to work through in as far as how to represent them, and to who, exactly.
I think that this is my fault, because I'm the one who came up as a salesman, got to know the guys who made a presentation about the vendors. And I looked around at the material that I had in the office there. There was nothing, hardly anything I could do. He would have to become a professional job somewhere sometime. And he was going to spend $8,000 or whatever it is to go out and try to get $400,000 or $500,000. I don't know that that's too big a problem. I guess the one thing that, this initial, actually, what was the number that y'all thought might be a reasonable estimate for photographic services?
Between 900 and 1500. I mean, if you get a professional.
So what we're really talking about is $10,000. If you say if it goes professional,
yeah.
Well, we have professionals here in Trinity, and that would be part of it. But that is going to be a very targeted marketing tool.
because we're talking about making. Now, the selling of the bricks and what, you know, the other thing to do, that's going to be a whole different marketing campaign. So
that's stuff.
That, you know, the kind of things that you and I might be able to participate in. So, or maybe not you, but.
And not to interrupt, but we talked about that. That, I mean, that's a different approach than the, you know, the private funding that we're talking about. But I do think it's just as important, and it can be very powerful in the bottom line for you. So that is something that we would like to address as part of this.
We are already 2 months behind on this. I'd like to make a motion to go forward.
Well, may I add something to the motion?
Sure.
Because what I'd like to do is be a little bit. I thought you had refused yourself.
She will come out with
And not yet, until y'all, somebody makes a motion and passes this. Excusing.
I make a motion that we refuse the mayor from voting on this matter.
All in favor, say aye.
But I'd like to amend your motion that we move forward to say that we authorize up to $10,000 to be divided between this proposal and $2,000 for photography from the General Reserve Fund, subject to the attorney review of the agreement of service, the service agreement, and that we solicit local photographers to do the photography part of it. Also, Tommy, I'll talk with you about this later. I know you're concerned, but we're going to be careful, buddy. I promise you. Any other questions?
Yes, I do.
Mr. Pro Tem, set a session at my request.
Okay. You said it was going to come out of the general funds, this year's general funds,
reserve
fund, next, or reserve fund,
general fund, reserve.
How are you situated? Okay. That was my only concern.
It's called the unappropriated fund balance.
Thank you, Mr. Turner.
Any other questions? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
If the motion carries.
This is your point, man.
Now, here's the drawback to this thing. We're going to have a $10,000 brochure and a couple of half pint, 2-bit sales.
Well, we play good cop, bad cop pretty good, sir.
We do. You seem to take much too enjoyment out of the bad cop roles. You
truly, that's fantastic. Oh, y'all want to make a motion to bring it back in?
No.
We didn't excuse you from the vote.
Why didn't you even have to ask?
Thank you, Mayor
President. Now, we're going to need a couple minutes to set up this next presentation, so if y'all might take a 10-minute break, let me bring it. Ladies and gentlemen, this young lady is with the North Carolina Department of Energy and Natural Resources. And Erin, if you would like to start your presentation, we're ready when you are.
Well, we're part of the Department of Environment and Natural Resources, and we are a state agency, a public health agency. But first off, I want to thank you, Mayor and Council, for allowing us to come here tonight. We appreciate, you know, just coming here just to let you guys aware of what we do. And I know I spoke to Barry a while ago. He said, North Carolina gets $300,000. I want some. Well, you got some. So I'm going to show you where this money goes and what we do. Oh, and I did want to add, too, that our mission, you know, as being the Division of Environmental Health, we are to monitor and protect. You know, that's basically the Beaches Act. That's what we follow. Our program's job is not to remediate water quality problems. So just want to let y'all know that. But the recreational water quality started in 1997. And that followed in 96 the NRBC, National Resource Defense Council. I don't know if you have y'all seen the Surf Rider, or not the Surf Rider, but they put out a report every year, water quality. But they actually called North Carolina a beach bum state because we didn't have a recreational water quality monitoring program. So the governor thought it was a good idea to do that. So we got started in 97, and in October 2000, the Beaches Act was passed, which required all coastal states to have a recreational monitoring program and to be in full compliance by 2004, and North Carolina was in full compliance with the Beaches Act in 2002. Just a quick note, we monitor all coastal waters. We don't monitor freshwater systems, so we monitor ocean beaches, sound bays, estuarine rivers. Just for example, if you have to go somewhere and have a freshwater fishing license, we don't monitor there. So Cape Fear River, that's above the highway, 17 beyond our area. We do not close beaches when we get high bacterial counts. We're not authorized to close beaches. Only thing we can do is advise that it's not safe to swim there. But the state health director and the county health directors do have the authority to close beaches. So this is our funding. We have approximately $540,240 of that, which is less because we've had a lot of budget cuts this last year. It's state funded. The $300 that Barry saw is from the US EPA. We have three regional labs. Our main office is in Morehead City. We have one in Agstead and one here in Wilmington. We do have 17 personnel that work with us. This is just a quick map of showing you that, you know, our regional locations, and also these are all of our monitoring sites, and I noticed the different colors. I'll talk to you about that later right now. We categorize all of our beaches based on tier, and that is on a usage basis. So tier ones are our high use, high priority beaches, which are used daily. Those are sampled weekly during the swimming season, which is April 1st through March or October 31st. Tier 2s are used an average of 3 days a week, and just a quick note, all of our Tier 1s are on the beach. We do have a couple of Tier 1 high-use beaches that are on the sound that meet that daily use requirement. But Tier 2s, those are used an average of 3 days a week, and those are generally located on the sound. They have parking, trash cans available, people go to and swim the sound. We do have some Tier 3 sites that are used an average of 4 days a month. And those are generally located in the intercoastal waterway, like on Schools Island, and will be reached by boat. We do monitor everything in the wintertime, but just on a monthly basis. So next month we start gearing up. This is just a quick map that shows you of this area here. You can see Carolina Beach Inlet all the way down to Fort Fisher. We have six Tier 1, the green sites, our Tier 1 monitoring sites. I know Casey gave you guys a list of all of our monitoring locations. They have a site number and then a description of where they're located, so you can kind of reference those to this map. The purple or pink color, those are Tier 2 sites. They're located in the sound, and then we do have a Tier 3 site, which is the Innocent Press. So why are we monitoring? And to put it simply, there's just things, potentially there are things in the water that make you sick. We all know that stormwater is a big problem. Carries salmonella, hepatitis. Cryptosporidia, which is actually the number one cause of waterborne illness, and in 2008 we had 79 cases of cryptosporidia reported in North Carolina. Those symptoms or those problems can be have the same type of flu-like symptoms, stomach cramps, diarrhea, and also we have had some complaints of skin infections or ear infections from swimming in areas. This is just a quick picture of what this is. How we test our bacteria is kind of a cool slide, but all the ones that are highlighted for us that are positive well, so this is a nasty sample. But what we monitor for is called enterococci. I'm sure everybody or most everybody has heard of fecal coliform. Fecal coliform is an indicator species of bacteria, just like enterococci. The only reason why we sample for enterococci is because the EPA told us to, and it lives longer in areas with higher salinities, which are ocean beaches. Two primary types we issue advisories is based on our bacteriological samples. So we'll issue a swimming advisory, which is a press release, and also we'll go put a sign on the beach. I know you've seen the signs that we have down here at the Free Beach Pier, big yellow triangle. Those stay up all the time. I'll discuss those in a minute. But we also have a monitoring site here. If we got a weak sample and we have high bacteriological count, we'll actually place an additional sign on the same post, but it will state that we have found bacteriological sediments that this area is under advisory. We also issue a swimming alert, which is basically a pending advisory, but with a swimming alert, a press release will be issued that no sign will be placed on the beach, and I'll discuss the difference. So for swimming advisories for Tier 1 sites, these are high-use areas, if a single sample exceeds 500 inner copies, it's an automatic swimming advisory. We also collect a running monthly logarithmic average, which is called a geometric mean. Have 5 samples collected in 30 days. If this exceeds 35, it's a swimming advisory. And we also have some areas which are triplicate sites. I know you can see a small picture, but these three bottles are triplicate sampling sites which are collected concurrently at the same time. We have about 11 of these in the state that are in here. But these are in our problem trouble areas that we just try to get a better indicator of what the bacteriological count is there. If two of those exceed 104, that's an advisory. For Tier 2, if one sample exceeds 500, it's an advisory. For Tier 3, the second sample has to exceed 500 before we'll issue an advisory. For swimming alerts, like I said, it's basically a pending advisory depending upon an immediate resample. So if we get a high count, the Tier 1 exceeds 104, we'll sample immediately, but a press release will go out saying that we did find a high bacteriological count. And you guys will be notified immediately upon the next day's 24-hour test what those results will be. Either that alert will come down or it will become an advisory. And a sign will be placed on the beach. For Tier 2, it's just a 276. This is the difference with the limit. So for rescinding, a single sample advisory, those are the ones that have the 500 there. And just like an alert, they typically only last for 24 hours. That's because our test is 24 hours long. And by the time, you know, we get out there and get a resample, the problem's gone. And so those signs are put up, taken down, and released. A press release will go out saying that that water quality is fine, and the sign has come down. For a geometric mean, those typically stay up for a minimum of a week. That's because we need 2 consecutive weekly samples to bring the signs down. So we'll go out and get an immediate resample, and then we need 1 more good sample before we'll take the sign down. So we can also issue something called a precautionary advisory. And the thing to remember with precautionary advisories is that there's no supporting data needed for this advisory. And once I give some examples, you'll see why. We have storm drains, which we all are aware of, and there are signs there. These are stormwater influenced storm drains, but we also have some storm drains that are not stormwater influenced, and we have one here at Handy Beach that's influenced by groundwater. These storm drains run continuously, and so there's a sign warning swimmers that this might not be the best place to swim. We also have circumstances where we've had a extreme rain event, either a hurricane, tropical storm, where some of our, especially our beach communities, they become flooded and emergency crews can't access. So what they're permitted at that time to pump the stormwater to the ocean. And what we do is we place signs on either side. Here's a sign. Here's one of our signs right here. And there's another one on the other side of the swash area. Just telling swimmers it's not a good idea to swim in between these signs. And also, when this happens, the water is really warm coming out here. I don't know if you see all these shorebirds out here. They're attracted to the critters that are in the stormwater. And shorebirds in themselves are a pollution source. So that's another reason why we put those signs up. We get direct disposal from closed shellfish waters. That's our partner program in our agency. We've actually had complaints of people swimming in or near the beach, near dredged spoils from closed shellfish waters. So when we get these recommendations in our office, we'll get the permits to typically recommend that this be done during the off season. It's not be done between April and October. But we'll do the same thing with these. We'll place signs on either side of the dredged spoil area. And usually the contractors of the town will talk to you guys. I mean, public works, they'll move the signs along with the dredge because you know it's not going to stay in one place. And then these signs, along with the stormwater pumping, will stay at 24 hours till after the pumping or dredging has ceased. And then, of course, saying that it's rescinded. Unfortunately, we have a lot of wastewater collection system failures. I know New Hanover County, it seems to happen a lot more lately. But obviously, we will issue a precautionary advisory for circumstances like this. Also, precautionary blanket advisory. The keyword for blanket just means that, you know, this covers a larger region. So it's a regional type advisory, and it's after hurricane or natural disasters. And what we'll do for wastewater system failures or precautionary blanket advisories, we'll sample until we get satisfactory bacteriological samples, and then we'll lift the precautionary. And so this is just a step of the public notification. This is the main reason why I wanted to come here and so y'all know me, hear my voice, because hopefully you won't have to hear it, but Barry's heard it. I know I've talked to Jim. But if we have to issue a swimming advisory here, the first step, I call county health director's first step. And second, I contact whoever y'all or wherever the localized site is. And the reason why we do that is because we want you guys to hear it from us before you hear it on the radio or see it in the paper or turn on the TV and see it on the news. And we want for you guys to know what we're doing, why we're out there, so you're not, what, and invite, you know. So that's the first step. The second step is that we do write the press release in our office, but the division public information officer in Raleigh, she's the one that's going to send press release to the radio newspapers Associated Press. But you guys will get the press release from me, either from me or myself or JD or somebody else in our office. And the final step is that this is posted on our webpage, which we do put on the press release, and I'll show you that in a minute. But we talked about stormwater being a problem, but there are circumstances where we've had to issue advisories where there are no storm drains present. And I know we're all aware of shorebirds. The mayor was talking to us about this earlier tonight. But people feeding shorebirds, we've had an advisory out here at the pier. It was on a dry weather event, but we had an advisory, and I'm sure it's probably because people feeding shorebirds or being attracted to what some of the fishermen throwing out their leftovers from the pier. Also, we've had a beach in Carteret County that was under advisory for about 3 weeks, and it's pristine beach, the longest, widest stretch of beach on the bank. And after the third week, we were getting samples that were exceeding the standards, as high as we could test. And then we were walking over piles and piles of dog feces. So, you know, if this dog feces in the wet sand, obviously it could become through suspended given the tides, and it could cause problems. And this is just a quick slide to show you. This is a bacteria per gram of feces. And look at the dog and cat. We have 40 million, 200 million for dog and cat compared to a human. It's 160,000. So that's just pushing the point that dogs and cats can be a huge pollution source if our domestic and wild animals, if they're not cleaned up properly. And this is just a few examples of what human sources that we can have. And the reason why I have a storm drain right here is because here's a failing septic system, here's overflowing manholes. These flow to this. And so this could be a problem. We also had a beach in Pampas County. It's on the river. That's a very highly used beach. We've had, not this past summer, but for summers before that, this place was under advisory for almost the entire swimming season. And we would see dirty diapers that had no trash cans, people defecating nearby. They just didn't have any facilities. But now there's the trash cans out. I'm not saying that helped the problem, but we definitely did have a problem last year. We don't see dirty diapers hanging around. And also, people in general, I know this is something you guys all, everybody wants to see, everybody coming to the beach. But if we issue an advisory on a dry weather event, there's no birds, there's nothing around, just to know that people in general could be a pollution source. If someone's sick, you got babies with diapers, and we're out there monitoring in a high concentration of people, that could be a potential problem as well. And this is just a list of sites that I've showed you or that you have already. And this is just a map again, and why I wanted to pull this up again is to show you, you know, we do have some gaps in between our monitoring sites, and unfortunately, the map I showed you before, we have 241 sites currently along the coast, and unfortunately can't sample at every public access. But what I would ask of you is if you see where our monitoring sites are here, if you think that our funds could be utilized somewhere else, if you think that there can be an additional monitoring location, because people like to know that they're coming to a beach too that is being monitored for water quality. They know that they're coming to a clean place. And so if you see that there's areas that, you know, we can move around or add additionally, we're open to hearing suggestions you might have for that. And this is our webpage. It has a huge, long URL, so I'm not going to, but if you Google North Carolina Recreational Water Quality, it's usually the thing that pops up first. And we have both this band, current swimming advisory. This current swimming advisory, this might be a good thing for y'all to bookmark. In case you have somebody ask you a quick question, is this under advisory? I heard this was under advisory. You can go here, and it's updated as soon as I issue a press release. so you'll know what's under advisory. This is just a list of advisors. This is what it'll look like. They'll tell you if it's insular or an advisory table. It's not within. If you click on the testing sites tab, this is pretty cool. It's just like Google Maps. But all these tags, if they're green, they're fine. They're not under advisory. If they're yellow, they're under alert. If they're red, they're under advisory. You can click on that. You get a brief description of what it is. But if you click on the use sampling data tab, you can actually see what the data is for that area. And if it's exceeding, you'll be highlighted in red. If you have any questions about what those numbers are, you can click on the dot sampling data. You'll figure out what that is. It will tell you what we test for, what the limits are. And there's just a link to our rules and our quality assurance plan. All of the beach communities, all of our monitoring sites are monitored up with that same quality assurance. We follow the same protocol with everybody. And so that might be just a good reference if y'all have any questions about what's happening or what's going on. That's it. I know, I wanted to go back because I felt like...
Question. Are you actually taking the physical? Are you taking it out of the surf or...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have a telescopic golf ball retriever that we've modified. We can put our sampling stick on and we'll go out in the deep water.
Don't you take one? Do you take one that has a catch basin? Do you ever do that on the plant anymore?
You're talking about bones and beach?
Yeah.
No, we don't. We take
the money on the ocean.
Yeah, we take it
up. Yeah.
Now, we take it off the first vertical mission.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah,
we're having a problem.
Yeah.
Since they've done the stormwater runoff, has that affected any of the, the experiments that NC State is doing that's in between K and N, is that having an effect on...
We've had to issue advisories at Curry Beach Pier during stormwater events. We haven't had to do so in the last couple of years, so can't say yes, can't say no.
Well, number one, you're not going to have as much discharge.
No.
So the opportunity would have a problem. It's not there. Number two, I think most of the advisories that you've had were probably dry. Dry events, very pier were all floods and stuff. So I think that's why you mentioned whatever it was. But that's I think that's been in the past those problems. But I think what we did on the beach, as far as keeping the stormwater from discharging into the water itself, is what's going to help and has helped. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Aaron, this is Sunny.
Oh, I'm Sunny.
Hey. But Aaron had a question about how, what is the rate, inch per hour, inch and a half per hour on the stormwater system?
I couldn't tell you that. Now, if you tell me more, I can probably give you some.
Zion was running 24 hours.
24 hours, yeah.
That had a lot better than that.
That's right. And that
had all the beaches of that.
That's right. It depends on the season. It's going to say, it's going to which one you're talking about. Different elevations and stuff, so it's going to which one. But I'll be glad to give you that information.
Okay. And then this is kind of, if y'all don't mind putting your email address on this list, just so I make sure anybody else that you think, if you're not here, somebody else that needs to know besides Sunny, I think I have your contact information, if you can put that on there. And also, my email address is wrong in the card, and because of state budget, we can't get new cards yet. So that is the right one on there. But if you give me your email, I'll just send you an email with my name, Mr. Wright. So, but everything else, the phone number on there.
Aaron?
Yes?
The fixed permanent sign at the Handy Beach out tomorrow. Has there been any recent, is that close to a monitoring station, or has there been any recent testing to see if that is still warranted? Because with sewer up there now instead of septic, we should have seen an improvement in the groundwater discharge, and hopefully not as much.
We do have a monitoring site there, but I'll let JD answer.
We do, and we haven't really seen a bad sample there recently, but the one thing, I'm not sure exactly how far that outfall is offshore, but we're taking it, you know, just knee-deep water, and that was probably about 100 feet offshore. And so we all know that we're even sampling at that point where it's going out, but to answer your question, right now with the rules the way they are, we would still have to keep the sign up because it is, especially that one, it's a continuous discharge. You know, even like what Aaron was talking about, it goes back into open ditches. So all of that waste, you know, regardless if you're on sewer, you've got all the pets and the wildlife. Whenever it rains, it goes into the ditches and it just collects and goes out there at the central location. But I don't remember a recent high count right where we take this out.
I mean, it is a concern for some of the folks who live in that. I mean, the pipes themselves are a concern. It's a safety issue for the folks who live near there and also having that sign on. All right.
Any
other questions, Aaron? Sienna, Aaron, thanks. Thanks for
coming.
Thank you very much, Aaron. I appreciate it.
Thank you, no problem.
Thank you. So thank you for having us.
Good to see you.
Appreciate you all coming.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
David, would you like to make your presentation before we sign up to the council?
Sure. Yeah. I signed up so I can serve. Oh, no. Okay. Whichever way you want to do it. That's
all
right.
You good?
Yeah, I'm good.
No, you're good?
Okay, sure.
We're good. I didn't want to.
Yeah,
you're right.
It's a
truth. Yeah, I'll talk. Yeah, exactly. So, good evening, Council. Good evening, folks. If you don't know me, I'm David Hagler, emergency manager for the town. We're now in March, so this is the first update to Council on the emergency operations plan. And this one is an informal one to let you guys know that you have to do an informal thing. Right? So first, let's talk about training. FEMA and the Department of Homeland Security increased the training requirements for emergency leadership, the incident commanders this year. So we had to do some training in January and February. We completed incident command level 300 to 400 training. So all the incident commanders in the emergency operations plan, that's myself, Commissioner Dugan, Police Chief Cooper, Fire Chief Hagler, and the Public Works Director, Sonny Beaker, all of us and their assistants went to ICS 300 400. So that was done in January and February. Also the town clerk, or I'm not sure what Casey's official title is, but she went to 300 with us. So we're good on the training for the incident commanders and the assistant department heads. You saw a memo from me back in January on the training required for council, maybe in December when we first got in. There's really two courses that you need to go online and complete before hurricane season. And if you have any problems getting those, let Casey know or let me know, we can get you in there.
Thank you.
But basically, those courses are all part of setting the stage for if we do have a hurricane, since the word was mentioned by someone else, I'll use it, for us to get reimbursed from FEMA. So that's required training that we need to be able to demonstrate to FEMA we've done, so that in the event of a hurricane, when we apply for reimbursement, we can get that. So if you have problems with those courses, please let me know. You need to finish them by May. And if you have problems, I'll be glad to sit down on the computer with you. Right. Any questions on the training first? Everybody good to go? Or if you have problems, please let me know. Secondly, our emergency operations plan requires us to update it once a year and for council to approve before hurricane season. So I'm in the middle of that right now, working with the department heads. I'll be presenting that to council formally next month. So the emergency operations plan right now, I'm going through the stuff to make sure that it meets the requirements that FEMA sets for us. It looks like right now the only changes will be to update the training section to say what's required. So that we have all the required training formally in our document, our emergency operations plan and the training annex. So that, again, we can demonstrate compliance. And really the changes are required by the Department of Homeland Security and FEMA. And right now, it's focused on training. If you look at the plan, Casey has hard copies. and you see something that you think should be added, just please send me an email and I'll work with the department heads to incorporate that into it. But right now the only changes that I see are for the training portions of the plan. And finally, we send out a hurricane pamphlet, mail out, or we have historically. I know it's a tight budget year, so I'm asking you to consider what you want to do for that. You don't have to make a decision today, but in the May council meeting, we'll want to determine if you want to mail that out to all the citizens.
David, is that something we can incorporate into the newsletter?
I think we can. Yes, sir. So it's a one-page mail out. You can definitely send it out with the newsletter, however you want to do it. I'll go through and update it. Yes, I'll go through and update it just like I do every year. We put it on the web page so people can print it out. Like I said, I understand it's a tough budget year, but I'll have it ready if council's desire is to send that out, we will mail it out in May. Right, so for Curie Beach, the real hurricane season is really the 1st of July until September, right? So the earliest one that we've seen was, which one?
Bertha,
right? So that happened in the 2nd week of July. And the latest official storm that really impacted Curie Beach was?
Hazel.
Hazel, right? So that was in October. So from July to October is the season for us. That's not to say that some storms that in today's world of the weather system trying to get us to watch them, they wouldn't call them earlier or later, right? So some storms that when I was a kid down here, now they'd be called hurricanes, happened in June and then like November or December, right? And we just called northeasterns back then, but now they call them hurricanes. That's really all I had today. I just wanted to kind of catch you guys up, right? So this is early in the season, but it's time to start thinking about it. Next month when I come to you, I'll be asking for you to post for volunteers for the Emergency Operations Center positions that we staff. So we send citizens up to the Emergency Operations Center that New Hanover County maintains if we have a hurricane. And we swear Andrew and a number of others have volunteered in the past, and I'm sure will again. Those people will need to do the same training that you guys do to be up there. I want to demonstrate that they are actually doing that before the Emergency Operations Center 11. So there's a couple of computer courses. But I'll ask you formally in next month's session to advertise for that. And I'll provide stuff to Casey and you and your pamphlets to look at that advertisement and then tell them what you will. Any questions for
me? You said you need to send it out in May, and the newsletter's going out in May.
We can send it out early. I'll have it ready if you wanted to do it in April. That's fine. Just tell me that. I'll make sure it's ready and to Casey, and then you guys can decide how you want to do that. The issue with it going out in April is people don't want to think about hurricanes in April and then they throw it away. Late May or June is when we send them out. In my time when I wasn't deployed, because that's when people start thinking about it, right? It's just one of those things people don't want to think about it right now in March, but we have to, right? It could be sent out in June as well, as whatever you guys direct. Any other questions for me?
Jim, you and Chuck want to sabotage this other stuff? You can work it in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Hopefully another quiet season.
Thank you, Chuck.
Thanks,
Dave.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Clark, we have anybody to address council?
Yes.
Yes, Representative Powell.
Sandy, would you like to come up?
Yes, sir.
Sandy, if you will, let everybody have your full name and your address.
Okay, my name is Sandy Capisi. I live at Fashion Bend, 603 California.
Yes,
ma'am. Tonight, I am here to address the reimbursement. First of all, I do want to say thank you. Thrilled that our beach is renourished. We needed it desperately. Very, very happy about that. However, I do have a couple of concerns. One of them, and very importantly, that I feel to me is very close to my heart, but it's 500, 600, and 700 building with ocean dunes. The dune there has been covered over I understand in the past we have had some communications with some council members and some folks in the community that the Army Corps of Engineers have an easement to that area, which is why they covered this over to heighten the dune. And I understand again from an expert that these dune grasses will grow up through that. However, right now there are no dune grasses. I did not know that they would grow up through that. It's just a pile of sand in front of three buildings. And this is a public access area. So my concern really is the protection of this new dune. There is none, there's no fencing, there is no sand, there's seagrass, oaks at this time, and there's no signs that they stay off it. So if the whole re-nourishment is basically to help us with erosion, then this whole process that they went through to heighten that particular area may just fall apart because there is no protection at this point. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? So that's a big concern. We need to protect the area and basically the money that we all just put into this, or the state, feds, whatever. So my concern here is the protection of it. If we could put a fencing up, some signs clearly stating that folks can't go on the, and I don't see oaks yet, but that this is going to be again eventually an established dune, that they won't be walking on it. Right now they can camp out on it, blankets, tents, whatever it is, umbrellas, walking the dogs. And so the chances of these oaks growing back will never happen. So we need to protect them.
John, Sandy, if I could, John has been on the computer and he's been in touch with the folks doing the work down there. John, would you like to address some of Sandy's concerns?
Well, and I believe I already did earlier. You received that email. Yes, in fact, the Corps did, or the dredging company did cover up about 600 feet of vegetation on a small dune. Their intention was to build that dune up. This was part of the contract. It was in their drawings and their plans. I also called Spencer Rogers this afternoon and asked his opinion of the vegetation, whether or not it would sustain and grow back, or whether or not it was just pretty much gone. He said that it should have no problem growing back through there, and it shouldn't hurt it whatsoever with the amount that was put over. On a second note, over the next 2 months, it's going to be prime time to start planting sea goats and seagrass. If y'all wanted to get proactive with that and go ahead and set a date when we could go out there and plant some sea goats. As far as putting a sand fence up there to create a barrier, I think that's a great idea. But that's going to be up to y'all.
It's very inexpensive. Oh, yeah,
he
can use those
books. Did you have any questions for
me?
Before you step in here.
Sonny's familiar with that.
Yeah.
Do you want
to have
any questions for Sam?
Yeah, I
have a question for John.
Sam,
you can just bears on this. Does our speech protection committee still have the program to plant the seagulls, and do we still get them free from Carolina Beach?
As far as I know, like I said, I hadn't really checked into it that much today yet. Spent the day out there checking it out, taking pictures and talking with Spencer Rogers, just trying to get everything together. I'm sure Barry will be, well, we're actually attending the next, both actually attending the next Beach Protection Committee meeting, and I'll be happy to bring that up and see if they can formulate a date that we can do all this together.
As far as the signage goes, we have about 16 on the hill right now that we're washing away during the bad weather we had. We'll be getting those back up probably this week sometime. So we'll stick a few of those in there maybe to help that until we can get until somebody puts some sand in. So.
Cool. Thank you.
Yes, Judy.
I had also, I spent a lot of time walking that into the beach, and I had also last week gone and talked to John If you gentlemen have not been out there, I suggest you go this week. You need to see what they've done. I'm appalled. I agree 100% with Sandy and her concern, but if you go down two buildings below her, south of her, the dunes from there down are just absolutely dropped off from the dunes. The seagrasses are all exposed, the roots, I mean, in some cases these are like up to here and just dropped off. And they push not one piece of sand up against those dunes. The sand just stops about this far. And there's a boardwalk down there that's actually the whole stairs are washed away. Not one drop of sand was put back under that those stairs. And, you know, I don't know why everybody down there is not raising cane. I mean, it's, you know, what was the point of putting the sand out there? Surely the beach is wider, but those dunes are hopeless. I mean, they did nothing to protect them, and yet they covered up a dune that was established with grass on it. And the ones that are half fallen in the ocean or fallen in the sand, they did nothing to it. So I suggest every one of you walk the in front of Ocean Dunes this week and see what they've done. I'm appalled.
Yes, sir.
I would like reinforcement. Sandy says, my name is Bob Stevens, not at Ocean Dunes, Building 7. And it's great to have all that sand. That dune took 10 years to form after Hurricane Floyd. The town put up COs on basically a flat part of the beach and a snow fence behind it. If you look at that now, that dune is growing in front of the snow fence, most of which is buried by now. And I'd like to suggest that you do it again. You plant the COs and put the snow fence on the ocean side to continue to trap sand in that area. Because that took a long time for that dune to get established there. And it's great to have the extra sand, but sure, I see it. Keep it as much as possible. And watching this thing grow, I've seen how the grass does collect it, and I've seen how the snow fence also traps it to the point where it buries itself. So just wanted to reinforce and maybe do that request. Keep as much as we will get just as soon as possible.
Thank you, sir. Anything else, Sandy?
No, I thought you had a question.
Well, I just wanted to say that I was talking to John earlier this afternoon about the possibility of us rearranging some of the sand down there. John is checking into it. Can't make any commitment one way or the other. But we are looking to see what we can do. Not sitting back idle. And if you would like, you're more than welcome to come to the next Citizen Beach Protection Committee meeting. I think it's
First Tuesday of the month.
At 3:00 in the afternoon. So please come. And bring anybody you would like.
I'll try. Dick, when you say you were thinking about redistributing some of that sand, did you have an idea of where, how, saw up in the area?
Anything until the Army Corps of Engineers says, this is what you can do, this is what you can't do. And last week we had them in here, and they kind of waffle. Might be a good
Thank you.
But yes, ma'am, we are.
Andy, you're right. Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Turn your shoulders up. Yeah, we're going to turn it over here. Peter, check it down. I think it may be that outfit.
John, you're welcome. Diane, you want to step up?
You got that?
Got that.
And she has it on here. She got away. Well, she moved her computer off.
Hi, Diane. I'm 241 Atlantic Avenue. My name is Wayne Warren. From the beaches. I've been down here since early February and decided that I needed to have coffee with the mayor on Saturday morning because Atlantic Avenue with this beautiful pristine asphalt was being used as a speedway. Traffic on 421 decided it was better just to fly down to Glenagan. So I came and talked to the mayor, and we talked about ways to calm the traffic. So the speed bumps that have been put in, or the humps, or the diversion of traffic, or anything. It was just nice clean, pretty much straight. So we talked about a lot of things, and the idea of stop signs came up. And that sounded pretty feasible. And to my amazement, on Tuesday, Public Works was installing stop signs along Atlantic Avenue. The way our house is situated, we're like an airy. I've got ocean views on three sides. And I can see cars coming. I can hear them stopping now. The stop signs have been a great, I can't say addition, because anyway, traffic's stopping. They're slowing down. They're doing well on stops. They're not flying down the street. So I would like to thank the mayor. I've talked to Chief Cooper, thanked him for expediting this. And I know it's temporary. I know you have to do all kinds of things. But I would like for you to take into consideration that a stop sign is a small inconvenience when it comes to the safety of a child. And this is the off season, and there's not much traffic, the whole community. But when all of our desired and wanted tourists go, we have a lot of pedestrian traffic, and we have a lot of vehicular traffic. And I think the stop signs are a good thing. Thank you. Thank you.
Any questions for Diane? Thank you, young lady.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, next is the approval of the consent agenda. Seconded by Commissioner Nelder. All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
We have some department heads. Johnny Jeff, yeah. Oh, the agenda. Any change to the agenda, gentlemen?
Yes.
Keener, go ahead,
please. I'd like to put number 7. Personnel matter discussed about Doug and Martin. Number 8, I'd like to do the same thing, discuss the personnel matter with Manager Dunn, having to do vacation ready for vacation. And if this is the time, I'd like to add a closed session. And it'll be discuss the personnel problem related to the former town administration.
You want to go to your numbers one more time, Mr. Keener? Ms. Carter, did you?
I got it.
Okay. Ms. Southern, there's a special Southern Martin. Case, Randy County. And a closed session, it's in the last week, I have a former town letter. On updates of current projects, I'd like to add part B, the Fort Fisher Air Base water line.
Anything else, gentlemen?
I'd like to add under new business, I guess it would be item 9. Jennifer Watson, the finance officer, has asked that we approve a budget amendment for a grant that we were awarded for land acquisition at the park.
And this is under other business, and it's under the bid.
No. Chuck had it seven.
No, it was new. It was new business.
It was new business, but we hadn't discussed it. So that would be the budget amendment for the creation fund. She happened to make a budget amendment up, but she's going to be the that I don't see.
Not that I got. No, sir.
Anything else? I'd like to make a motion to adopt the agenda.
Second.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. The agenda is adopted. And pardon, has any of you had frustration, you and John both?
I didn't really have anything unless you wanted an update on Beach Nursery. As of last night, the Great Lakes Dredging Company was did complete the southern end of the beach nourishment, and they moved to the northern end. I have not seen the numbers from the Army Corps as to how much sand exactly was placed on our beach. I've asked for that documentation, and expecting something by the end of the week. They have started on the northern end, and from what I'm being told, they're about a week ahead of schedule and are expecting completion by the end of next week. That's about it. Yes, sir.
At the last meeting last week, there was a discussion about the fact that if they did finish early, there may be an opportunity to pump some additional sand.
I was out of town, but from my understanding, yes, sir, that was discussed. And from what I was told, the dredging company has other obligations back in Florida, and that they were not going to be able to process that request. However, I spoke with the Corps representative this afternoon. And I asked him why, if they were supposed to be here for 8 months to do this beach nourishment project and they finished in 3 weeks, why they could not wait another week and pump some more sand for us. His answer was, well, I don't know. Let me check into that for you and we'll get back to you. So basically, I'm going to be expecting an answer about that on Thursday or Friday also.
That other issue about moving the sand.
I tried to get up Thursday. I should be able to find something out for you tomorrow.
At the meeting, John Smith, we asked the Army Corps of Engineers, represented point blank, if we went to the county commissioners with a request for more funding, if they could stay here, they point blank said that the ship would be moving. Today isn't going back to your waffling. Today's another flip flop by the Army Corps of Engineers. I made calls to the county, and Rick Catlin is going to lead the charge to see if we can get some funding out of the county commissioner. But before he can do that, he needs to know the rate they're going to charge to pump the sand and how much sand they plan on pumping. So I'm very disappointed with the Army Corps of Engineers, like you said, waffling on this, because we asked them point blank, and Rick was here as a representative for the town, an advocate for the town, and they told him that.
Well, the explanation that was given to me today was that they were in the middle of a project in Florida, and the only reason they moved up here was because they had a contract with us, and they were obligated to come up and take care of our beach nourishment, and as soon as they were done, they were heading back down to Florida.
Even though they're a week early.
That was my point.
I don't think the contract specifies the amount of time they spent. The contract specifies the extent of the sand that they pump.
That's correct.
Jim, you got a question?
Yeah, Fuller just answered it. The contract with Core is not based on time, it's based on cubic yards of sand. So if they finish early, the county can't pay the Core money. Federal government won't allow that. You can't give the federal government money for beach renourishments. It's an ongoing battle that they're still fighting at the county and at the state level.
They actually commented at the meeting that they were ahead of schedule because of the great weather they had. But anyway, we'll keep our fingers crossed.
How far north will sand get?
The northern section is from Myrtle Avenue and Cary Beach north to Tennessee Avenue and Carolina Beach.
So, where's the plumbing?
The southern section was from Building 1800 of Ocean Dunes north to Davis Road.
You said Myrtle to the Dallas?
That's right in there. Yes, sir. And total amount of sand that is supposed to be pumped on our beach is 420,000 cubic yards.
Anything else, John?
I certainly
shall. Anybody have any more questions for John? Thank you, John. Your speaker.
Yes, sir. Okay, I just have a couple of quick things I'd like to talk to you about. First, a little recap on the put-upon rehab. Sewer rehab work that we're doing on Fort Fisher Boulevard. There's four sections of line that still needs to be rehabbed, and we're looking to complete those lines somewhere at the week ending March the 26th, somewhere around there. We've completed a punch list. I haven't started on the punch list though, but stuff like some of the asphalt patching, some concrete curbing might to be that was poor, has to be poured back out. We're not happy with some of it. And so some of that's going to have to be done. So if we're talking a little bit of time there. We still have rehab on some of our manholes that still need to be done. We have a lateral between M and N. On the Boulevard, it still has to be completed. We're negotiating some prices on that. So hopefully I'll get those prices in to our likings, and we'll go ahead and get that started. Does anybody have any questions on that far? That's pretty good. But anyway, everything seems to be going pretty good. We have two crews out there now working really hard. Therefore, while we didn't have a lot going on, but thank goodness God beat you through, and we're number one now, and we're getting some stuff done. So that's all the instructions seen on Fort Fisher Boulevard, and I'm kind of happy that we're moving pretty quickly, and we should. I might say that. I'll believe it right now. This right here is something that on the same lines with the rehab project. Basically do some change orders and some change in scope of the project. The result of those during the project, we've had a cost savings. And what I would like to do is take some of that, take that cost savings and take it and use it on two or three little areas that we have throughout town. The older section that we've taken a closer look at here recently, and I feel like it'd be a good time to do it. With the scope of the project has been expanded by us asking the engineer to ask permission to the Clean Water Trust people, which they have agreed to let us do that, to use this extra money. And on the back side of the second page, you'll see a small map showing the areas that we'd like to use that savings that we have to do as much of that area as we can. And
is this something that needs council action, or can you just do it within the scope of the contract?
Well, the scope of the contract is basically the same as far as cost. I will make sure that whatever work we do stays in the budget for parameters of what the scope is now. So,
and this doesn't change the contract, or doesn't change the grant, doesn't change the guidelines under which the federal government is overseeing it. It's been cleared by both the federal government and the state.
And after this project, these last little ones, I'm going to be hard pressed to find anything in those sections of town that hasn't been rehabbed. So we're I keep saying that, but I keep finding a few little things, but I think I'll take a look forward to find these. And we do have some problem spots in here and some different infiltration, so it would be nice to take care of this. And we might be able to take all the care of all three of them, so that would be nice.
Basically, informational, just bring everybody up right. And say, look.
Okay. And I'm sure Sonny would have recommended it, and it didn't need to be done, so.
Thank you, Mayor. And the other thing. It's time for our late charge debris removal. Firstly, basically, we had a few problems last time with some people wanting to clear their lots. There was quite a bit of debris on some of them. Hopefully that this time with the wording that we have in there, that'll take care of that. We're going to try to keep a closer look on some of these piles when they start growing to make sure that the property owners know that they either are too big or they're out of the scope of what we're trying to do. This information, as you can see, has been advertised and we're ready to get with it what was it, April the 8th, which is a Thursday.
Now, we want to make sure everybody is aware this is debris. This is not refrigerators, yeah. Old mattresses. This is vegetation.
Next year, not there.
Yes.
There was discussion and talk about a possible pickup of hazardous stuff like batteries, etc., and all that kind of mess.
I wasn't in that conversation, Barrett.
No.
That was a waste management,
Barry.
They're going to work there.
Okay.
Now, the Denver County does that once a year, and my suggestion is to probably let Denver County do that. I'll get the information for everyone, and we'll put it on site and everything so everybody knows when that is so they can take it up there. My understanding from Denver County is it's very costly to do that. And since they are, we are part of, are we still part of the county? Yeah, we're part of the Denver County, and we can use that service. So.
Thank you, sir.
Waste management, Mary said, it would be a substantial charge for it.
Thank you, Mr. Yes, sir.
Any other questions, Mr.
Speaker? Oh, I hate to correct Mr. Duke, but we do pick up the other debris other than the stuff. We do actually correct the debris.
Oh, well, that's okay.
I didn't want to do that, but I felt like I had to.
We'll talk after.
That's what I was going to do.
I mean, you tires and badges.
Yeah, okay.
So you will pick up refrigerators?
Yes, ma'am. Not only yours, but
any other first item under all business. Madam Clerk, are you ready to? Would y'all like to be able to show of hands or orally for this? You know, for these appointments. Well, I guess we'll do it with a show of hands. Okay.
Well, I'm sorry, I'm quick.
How would you like to register your
Well, I have a question about this list that we have here. We have under D and E, we only have one name from each of those committees. I'm assuming that those are the names that were recommended by the committee.
Yes. Yes.
And we had asked under our new policy to have two names.
I think in both instances there may have only been one person that applied.
Well, that's what I was asking because I wanted, I mean, I guess, so what we'd have to do is, I guess part of the motion would be to waive that requirement that we have two names since only one applicant for each. Wasn't the language that if it was a committee other than the quasi-judicial that had to have two names? The language was, yes, two names from every committee.
Right.
Okay, because the way I was reading it, it was that we didn't have to meet the two requirement for PDC and Board of Adjustment.
Well, we don't because we interviewed them ourselves, but I'm referring to D and E, where those committees only sent us one name each. These other names, PDC and Board of Adjustment and Stormwater, we interviewed all those people, but these other two committees, the Beach Protection Committee and Parks and Advisory, Parks and Recreation, should have sent us two names under a procedure. But her is telling me that she thinks there was only one applicant for each of those. The applicants were apparently acceptable to the committee. So, like I say, we would have to waive the rule to do that or send it back to the committee to get two names.
The chair of the Parks and Rec Committee is here, along with one of the members, and they only had, if I remember right, one application, and she was acceptable to everybody on the committee. And Barry, can you bring us up to speed on the Beach Protection Committee?
Yes. What would probably be the best is to install three members. That would bring it to a full five for the committee, and then they can come back for any alternates or additional members if they would like to expand their committee.
That's Stormwater.
Correct.
He asked about Beach Protection.
Oh, Beach Protection. I'm sorry. No, he was...
He was the only applicant?
Yes.
Is your chair here?
Sandy is not here.
Okay. I'd like to make a motion to amend the rules, because we only had one person apply to each of these positions.
Not amend the rule. Okay. There's a clause in there saying that we can waive that.
Waive the rules.
If we don't, if we choose to that matter.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, so we will make another motion to...
So I'd like to make a motion that we approve Ann Brodsky for P&Z, Tony Garibay for Board of Adjustment, Tom Moffitt, John Gordon, and Mo Lindquist for Stormwater, with the proviso that Ann resign from Board of Adjustment upon appointment to P&Z.
I'll second it.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The motion passes 4-1. Thank you.
I couldn't have handled another rejection.
Possibly we could do this on a monthly basis without bringing people in, so at special occasions that as projects are ongoing, that you would have a small update, or even to have somebody stand up and say there's nothing new since last meeting. And after getting together with Chuck and also with the mayor, we listed the projects that we could think of that were going on, and if anybody is here from any of these areas of interest that wants to speak up on updates, please feel free to. The first is the disc golf course, and I'm assuming that the
Mayor, Council,
I don't have an update because we're in the process of still waiting to hear from Sunny Point as to whether we're going to be able to get the needed land to make for a tournament-quality disc golf course. What we need is about 200 more feet going toward towards the ocean and towards
the river.
Towards the river. And that will expand it and open it up enough so that we can then design the tournament quality course that we anticipate that we need. The mayor and the former mayor both were in touch with Sunny Point and we were in the process of waiting to hear back from them. So hopefully, that will be soon.
I did.
But,
Sonny contacted him and they did not get back with him, but the last contact we had with him, and this is dealing with the government, and they are working it through their committees for approval. But
and I'm like I say, they're doing a fine job, and
not to, we don't need to bang with their heads anymore than we have to.
It'll break their faces and doors.
Ain't it good?
Okay, Bob.
Sure.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, brother. The next would be Atlantic Avenue Landscaping, and I know there's a house over there.
Is this your share, or is it in Myrtle Beach receiving a pay board?
Okay, well, do I...
Well, now you can stand right there.
Thank you.
Mark,
229 Atlantic Avenue. The landscaping is going in. The lines were laid for the sprinkler watering system. A whole bunch of manure arrived. It's all been smushed around. They came in with tillers to try to work the manure into the rocks, which is basically what was underlying that whole area. So then they have now brought, I think they planted a bunch of plants between L and M, but there are still Gaillardia to come. But we have roses, we have newly grass, we have Serenella, we have juniper, and then Gaillardia will be the next one. And I think they're hoping to get done with the stretch from end to end tomorrow.
It looks, thank you, Angela,
right
down there what you
guys have done. And they put down super heavy duty landscape.
Yeah, it looks like
thank you. The next is the Hall of Fame, and I'm involved with that. And we're in the process of, right now, we have scheduled a meeting with a woman that does murals. Emily and I are meeting with her this Friday afternoon, and there should be some kind of update that we can give after the meeting. And last is the Oceanfront Park.
Thanks, Max.
Okay. Well, let's do that last. Yeah. If you don't mind.
Yeah, just real quick, Jim, and we made a list of, probably not talking, but the tennis courts.
Oh, okay. Tennis courts. Sonny and myself and the mayor have had discussions about the resurfacing of the tennis court. Public Works is in the process now of getting prices. We have the possible ability, or we're pretty sure we're going to be able to use.
And it's all in discussions with the county department on money would be, that would be a legitimate use to replace the tennis courts because they're not as patchy. And I think that was agreeable with the Parks and Recreation Committee.
So we're getting a number of prices to see what kind of money that we're looking at. And you'll be hearing more about that in the future also.
But just add to that, we'll have to schedule a replacement of them around Parks and Rec schedule because they have looked three different classes looked already.
Well, yeah, Sunday night and Tuesday afternoon and Tuesday evening.
And the certification you just received, Bob, would you enlighten the group about that? for the little guys, the little guys.
Sure. One of the things that our committee did was join the United States Tennis Association, part of the Parks and Rec. It was a natural extension that we would do that. And one of the reasons that we did that was so that we were able to take part in the USTA Quick Start program. The Quick Start program is a program for children 4 years to 6 years old. And it uses a special ball. It uses a net that is about ground level and up to about 2 feet tall, special rackets and all. And we were able to get a break and quite a bit of the equipment from the USTA because of us being part of that and promoting tennis lessons in our community. And we are doing this. We are every Tuesday afternoon at 3:45 over on the court. Our instructor is a certified Quick Start person who is doing this. Just another part of the tennis program that brings good things to Kirby Beach.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Bob. Thanks, Katie.
Thanks, Jerry.
Great job, Bob.
Good job, Bob.
The Fort Fisher Air Force Base. Fort Fisher Air Force Base has been in contact 10, 12 years longer with the town of Kirby Beach regarding hooking onto our water supply. They, as of now, are the water that's within their location is being supplied by wells, their own wells. And they would like to, because of water quality and water pressure, hook up to our lines. There's been meetings attended by the mayor, myself, Sonny and Dave from Public Works, and two gentlemen from the Air Force, as far as discussions, as far as what services we can supply and what the cost for those services will be. We're still in negotiations right now, so there's been nothing definite decided. But if things go well, we'll have another client for Kirby Beach Water. Hope everything goes well.
We hope it does.
And the last one under projects is one that may take a little longer, and that's the Oceanfront Park. Where we are at with the Oceanfront Park is the next step. We have to get contracts going before we can actually do any work. We have asked for contracts from Withers and Ravenel, and we have asked for contracts for engineering services. The council and Public Works and just basically those individuals and the attorney have reviewed the contracts. We sent back the contract from Withers and Ravenel as unacceptable at this time based on pricing and a couple of overlap issues. Engineering Services has is the one who wrote the stormwater grant, and they will be the person that is overseeing the installation of the stormwater system if we okay their contract. And we have also approached them to oversee the whole park development, regardless of whether we use an architect and who that architect should be. We are asking them to oversee the whole project, and they have supplied us with a contract with the price for that. Council has had copies for a couple of weeks now. There have been changes requested by council, and the changes, there was only one real change that was requested in the language, and that has been okay. You have a sheet that's in front of you, which is an insert of the page that it was loose on the front. The section that was requested to be changed is the language that we originally got had, if anything went to arbitration, the arbitration took place in Raleigh. And we figure it's our money, why should we travel to Raleigh? So we asked them to insert Wilmington rather than Raleigh, and they accepted that. At this time, I would like to hopefully get both contracts passed. If there's any discussion, I'll probably break them down and do one contract at a time. And so the first contract is for engineering services to supply engineering expertise and oversee the project of the installation of the stormwater project. The money that they have said that they will require for this is in line with the money that the grant application. It basically is the grant money. In total is the money that they are going to charge for the completion of that project, which is $25,000 for construction observation, $5,000 for grant administration services, $17,500 for preliminary and final design, and $8,500 for that would be from the second contract for grant administration services. So we will have a total of $204,000 for the grant for the overseeing of the stormwater project. Are there any questions?
Would you like to make a motion to approve this?
Oh, yeah, we'll make the motion. I make the motion first, and then we can discuss it. So I make the motion that we approve the engineering services grant for the stormwater project.
I second that. In discussion, of course, I think everybody sitting up here knows we're under a real timeline to get some dirt being moved around in there. We're going to lose this grant. So.
And I have the majority of what you wrote. I've got answers.
Do we have the footprint of the building so that engineering services can lay out their storm and all that other kind of stuff?
Engineering services has been working with Withers and Ravenel for the development of that. We as of yet haven't gotten their newest contract offer to us, but we in fact will have to have that, or at least a pretty close facsimile of the footprint for that of the restroom structure before they can go ahead.
Well, yeah, I was just curious as to how long it's going to take for Rick Withers and Ravenel to get that stuff so we can get
Withers and Ravenel. Withers and Ravenel contacted me Friday saying that they were sending the revised contract to us, and as I said, we haven't got it.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, on this, the matching funds, that's not in this year's budget.
The matching funds have already been spent. That was the tearing down of the motel and the site work.
So we've already met that part of the grant. And so the only thing that we're not talking about any budgetary impact for us as far as this agreement right here. So,
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion from the audience before we vote? All in favor of accepting this contract, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you, Jim. Number two.
Yes, the second contract is the contract for the oversight from engineering services of the total project of the grant. And that was part of the problem that Tim saw when he looked at the original Withers and Ravenel contract, because there was some overlap in duties that both of the grantees or the contractees were going to perform. So what we would do when we pass this, if we pass this contract, would be we would have the engineer who would oversee the total project so that when we do get a contract from either Withers-Grethenell or a different architectural firm, we would make sure that there were no duplication of services and that we would be paying one person to do one thing and another person to do another thing. I make a motion that we accept the engineering services grant for the overseeing of the park project.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
I have a
couple questions. Does engineering services have any questions about taking on this oversight for a lump sum amount without having seen the contractors over who we're going to be hiring to do the actual work?
Based on the discussions that Sonny and I have had with them, no.
I mean, the thing that I was found, when I compared the two contracts that we had earlier, the thing that was troubling to me is it looked like both of them were trying to do the same administrative work and we didn't need that. But now, it worries me that absent the contract for the architectural work and stuff like that, these folks are giving us a price, not knowing exactly.
Not in the blood.
Right. And that may be a good price. The other question I had is there any reason for us to approve this now? What if Withers-Grethenell comes back and amends their offer and gives us a lower price for the oversight of the administration to be separate and apart?
I do know from talking to Withers-Grethenell, the price will be lower. What it's going to involve, I don't know. Because based on the discussion with all of you and the things that you saw, they were contacted with obviously some of these questions, and the engineer also was in contact with them, and hopefully they worked out these overlap issues.
Would there be any impact on the contract we just approved and the grant that we're trying to make sure we don't lose if we put this off?
I would think not. As long as we realize that, at least with Withers-Grethenell, the contract that we're getting sent to us is a minimal contract that doesn't involve overseeing impact. So that if in fact we would take Withers-Grethenell at a contract that we get, we're still going to have somebody. We need to go back to them and say, hey, would you oversee it or go back to this contract? As long as everybody's aware of that. Can you think of without trying to slow anything down,
is see what Withers-Grethenell proposes, look at it in comparison with this and their original proposal and proceed rather than say, okay, we're going to sign these guys up to $25,000 and then we'll see what they're supervising.
No, I can't see anything right now that it would slow down the project in any way.
And the $25,000, is it coming out of the grant funding, or is that something that we would have to budget?
Grant funding.
Okay. Well, I personally would just like us to wait until we get Withers-Grethenell, but if y'all feel that we need to proceed with this, I don't have any strong objections other than I just think...
Well, we can't vote on Withers-Grethenell or anybody until next month anyway. So,
you'd like to withdraw your motion?
I don't. I can. Yeah. I don't see where it's going to hurt anything because we can't do Withers-Grethenell next month anyway. So I withdraw my motion.
Thank you.
And I just thank you for working on this and getting them to change the language and the price and all that stuff.
The language part is easy.
Yeah. But thank you for doing that. I think it helped the town.
Commissioner Keener, motion in front of Park Ranch.
Commissioner Dugan asked me if he's going to get us all on the same path before we are on these grants. We have three grants to develop the park. A total of $860,393. And to go to the second phase, the first grant, of course, that we're working on, we just discussed, is the clean water, $204,000. The only problem we have, it works out, but that's the first thing we have to do is to do the stormwater and do the groundwork. That's good, because this is the shortest time we have. The contract needs to be under construction by October this year, October 27th. And hopefully, according to engineering services, the biggest problem is going to be getting permits. Sometimes it takes 6 months. If so, we're going to end up having to ask for extension. However, that would be okay, because the state is one that's holding us up on the permits, and the state would have to hold up on the money. Hopefully, we wouldn't have a problem with that. So that's why it is important that we get started on this and not make any delays at all if possible, because we do have a short time. The next, go to the next page, the 200,000. Now, that is from Coastal Management, and they have not, even if they have not received the contract yet, but it's expected in April, and they still have an 18-month, normally, window. So when you get that contract, we'll be able to tell you more about the restrictions and what's needed, but it is to be done. It can be added to the pavilion, the landscaping, the top, space of the restroom, all that can be done out of that grant. The third grant is, we have plenty of time. We have until October 2012. And that's for $456,000. That can be used for just about anything we need to use it for. We do have to start the project within 5 years.
Who's that? Excuse me, who's that from?
That's from the Parks and Recreation Trust Fund. So that's about the timing that we have to do. It works out the timing pretty well as the way we already planned to do the development. Any questions?
On all these, like the local government match, we met the one for the Clean Water Management Trust Fund. The other two, because the land purchase count as the local government match on the Parks and Recreation, and then what about me?
Well, since they won $1 million for a $200,000 grant, thank God they can use those land acquisition. Since they won $1.4 million for as their match for a $400,000 grant, thank God they can use the land acquisition.
And are there any restrictions? Like, one of the things that's listed here under the Diener grant, these grant requested $100,000 for pavilion, landscaping, and the top lot. Are we restricted in any way by the grant from, for example, if the mayor gets the Golden Leaf Foundation to spend $100,000 on the top lot, does the grant say?
I'll say that when I get the contract.
Okay. That, I mean, you know where I'm coming from.
Just off the top of my head, since most of the money, I'm assuming that we would gather in, would go towards reducing the debt on the purchasing, that any signage or anything like that would just be an action that the council would take on their own after the completion of the grant. Not that R.J. Reynolds would, in fact, give us money that we would go out and use to purchase equipment for the title. Good point.
Okay. Well, I just said the grant was requested $200,000 for pavilion, landscaping, top rock, et cetera, and I just didn't, want to say if had any strings attached.
It's also the boardwalk. And I thought I saw a restroom there somewhere.
Yeah,
the asphalt. Sure, the restroom.
The restroom,
complete landscaping, all that's under that grant. But again, the contract comes in, we'll see what the rest of it is. I mean, it's a good point, but I do glad to get this done. I don't tell them it's going to actually go to that because it's under the government part.
Yeah. Any other questions? Under old business, item number 4.
So this is one that we've talked about before, and I just think it's really important that with the timelines and the constraints that we have, that we come up with the schedules. And I think if we now have engineering services signed up, or at least that one, they can give us a schedule. And Jennifer and I had talked about, for each of these projects, setting up a project budget within the town budget that we can track the money in and out, because we've had some difficulty with that. Commissioner Keener spent a lot of time trying to figure out, you know, what has already been accounted for and what has been received and things like that. So that's, and I'm assuming that the budget numbers will be fairly close to what they've got in their breakdown. And I don't know if we want to do it in any more detail than that, but if we can get them to give us a schedule.
Your finance, we could schedule a meeting at your convenience.
All right, well, let's do that and sit down with our room.
Mary, anything?
No, sir.
Questions? Item number 5, under all business, Mayor Council Formal Notes, and the report.
Now, this is something that we've been wrestling with for December, I guess. And
since 1947.
In this particular case, we have a more immediate and concentrated. And we had a work session to talk about this. So what we're trying to do is adjust the assignments in Town Hall to account for the fact that we no longer have a town administrator. And I think we've all been working on various versions of what we think we would like to see. What I did is I went back to the job descriptions for the town clerk and for the finance officer that existed prior to the hiring of the administrator. And so you should have in your packet two different sets of job descriptions. And to start the discussion, my motion would be that we revert to the job descriptions for the town clerk and the finance budget officer that existed on and are dated on the handouts August 15, 2006, which was the way Town Hall was running before we hired the administrator.
Having worked with both Chuck and the clerk on hers, I don't know whether he matched it, but about 90% of it is language that was on the other one. And the other language that's been added is basically the additional duties that she takes that weren't in the other one. I don't see really any large difference between either one, whichever one is accepted. I don't see, since we've always got, in everyone, we've got the sentence and all of the duties given by counsel, it covers the additional duties. But the reason that we put in the additional duties was just to make sure that people were aware of who did that specific job.
Which one is the one?
You got the one for clerk?
The one's in Jim.
Which one's the type of print? That's this one. The general statements and duties, the language is the same. The supervision paragraph, the language is the same. Under duties and responsibilities, the first two are exactly the same. The third is an addition. The fourth is an addition.
You're saying that this general statement of duties
in the one that you're handing out is the same as the general statement of duties in the one that was adopted August 15, 2006.
So keep one that I just read.
And there's a significant difference, Jim.
Okay, well, then I haven't done my homework. Just the one that I was reading is the one that was based on this prior.
You have the one that was faxed from my office?
They adopted August 15th.
Yeah, the one that's coming up.
Right. Yeah.
I can't remember what it says in here.
decide if the finance budget officer would be a department head, as I think it was with Susan. The other part of this, too, that I included the
staff. Well, not originally, whether the.
I think eventually, yeah. In either case, it seems to me that if we go back and adopt this, it would be a promotion for the people who currently hold these positions. Because the salary range, the description of duties, the requirements, and everything like that is significantly higher and different from what the current description is that they're working on.
Well, just so we've maybe not even refreshed from that, because you weren't on when she was hired, we intentionally, when we, as the council decided on the clerk and the background and entry level and everything, it was intentional that we had somebody who was at entry level because of the administrator coming on board, and we didn't feel the need that the qualifications needed to be as high as normal. So I would agree that the upgrade would be.
So with that in mind, that's why I included this portion from the personnel policy manual. It says that except in rare situations where previous time experience is essential or exceptional qualifications of an internal candidate so indicate, the town will consider other applicants rather than automatically promote from within. So my motion would be that we revert to the August 2006 job descriptions and that we advertise for applicants for these positions, including the current holders of these positions, to apply, and that the town council review the applicants for in accordance with our policy.
We're asking to potentially hire a brand new clerk, brand new head of finance.
Yes, sir. I mean
that's
We're essentially creating a position, we're going back to a position that used to exist and doesn't exist now.
Yeah.
And no. So, and the way our policy is written, we want to get the best people to fulfill those positions.
Do I have a second? Mary, did you second it or?
No, I haven't. I was wanting to initially do the original change to the back to the August the 15th, but I acquiesced to Tim.
All right, I'll second. I'll second the motion. All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Nope.
Motion passes 4-1. Thank you. Item number 6, Mr. Newton, discussion of customer service policy.
Is this for both the finance officer and the town clerk?
Yes.
We pass more of the same customers. I'm happy to learn which here.
Mr. Newton?
Yes, sir.
You deserve a free lunch. Mr. Potter?
Yes. Some of us actually didn't quite understand what just took place up there. I know that there was a vote passed, but we don't have the vote was.
The vote was to return to the job descriptions for the town clerk and finance officer that existed on August 15, 2006. And to advertise for applications for those positions according with our personnel policy as it exists.
And what do we do with the people that we have on board today?
They can apply for the position and will be considered. I'll just read to you what the policy says, Jim. This is the existing personnel policy. Therefore, except in rare situations where previous time experience is essential or exceptional qualifications of an internal candidate so indicate, the town will consider other applicants rather than automatically promote from within. Candidates for promotion shall be chosen on the basis of their qualifications and their work records, Candidates shall apply for promotions using the same application process as external candidates. That's in Section 5 of our personnel policy.
That's for promotions, but you're suggesting that you're taking applications for people that are currently working today?
Based on the comparison of the job descriptions that exist for these folks today and that they were hired under, going back to that description would in every way be a promotion, both in pay, qualifications, duties, and responsibilities. So, yes, sir. That's what the policy says we're supposed to do.
And we feel that that's necessary, that we start interviewing for people at clerk in finance?
Yes, sir.
And the rationale is, again?
The rationale is that, as Jim said, when we had a town administrator, we hired an entry-level clerk. We're now reverting to a clerk position that was significantly more demanding in qualifications, experience, and responsibility, and also significantly higher in pay. And according to the town policy, personnel policy, such a change would require us to advertise for external applicants, and everybody's allowed to apply, and all the promotion, all the applicants will be considered.
Does this mean that whenever we get additional duties for a position, we reapply the position?
You know, if you're talking about adding one or two things, no. But if you're talking about completely redefining the position, Jim, yes. Which I think is what we're doing. I mean, if you compare the two descriptions, they are considerably different in what the applicants, the qualifications that we ask for, and what we expect them to do, and what we're going to pay them.
Item number 6,
Mr.
Dillon? Yes, sir. Some past history. When, at the end of the previous administration, applications had tried to set up some training for all of us, and because of issues regarding availability and election coming up and everything, we were never able to do it. So I was requested to add language after I spoke up on the need for some language that also protected the employees from the outside and also internal fellow employee harassment or violence. I was asked to look for some language, and I found language that seems fairly good and also comes from the state of North Carolina at the state level. And I would like to add this along with the work that Chuck has done with his language that we have previously okayed on how employees are supposed to interact with the public. And this would also help the employees to realize what problems can crop up either with the public or the co-workers and what different things that they can do if those problems would happen to crop up, such as the carrying of guns by employees that aren't required and different situations that can occur between employees. So, at this time, I'd like to make a motion that we add this language to the policy manual alongside, or as a addendum to Chuck's language.
Go ahead.
Second. Discussion? Mayor?
Yes. This kind of came at us on Friday, I think.
Yeah, I had to give it to the attorney to review. As a matter of fact,
and I don't know that we have been able to discuss this amongst ourselves as far as you know, tweaking it in any way, shape, or form. I mean, there may be areas that you want to.
Yeah.
I mean, this is this is strictly a boilerplate, right?
This came from the state of North Carolina. Yeah. Matter of fact, when it was typed up, whoever typed it up didn't change state in every place that was necessary.
Any other questions, Barry?
No, I just thought it was a little quick to review and pass.
Well, I've read it. The only thing I have questions.
I mean, I don't have any problems with it.
Yeah. Do we need to implement an employee assistance program?
No, that's not a question.
Okay. I mean, would y'all like to implement one while we're...
That very easily could be done. We could tag on to the county or the city of Wilmington.
I think this would be really good, particularly.
Oh, we've got employee assistance program in our drug line.
Okay. I think this is what this is. Just ask them, you know, just counsel if they have been attacked or anything. But we do have one situation where we have a wife and husband working for the town, and you know, haven't forbidden anything going on there. But I think if this situation comes up again, where we have two folks in the same family, I think this would be an ideal way to handle any problems that arise.
Right. It's, I didn't see the need to reinvent a wheel.
Right.
So I didn't see it was working. And the fact that it was our own state.
And the flex scheduling, I don't think that's ever been a problem. And I think the staff has already gotten to the point that if we had one of the employees who needed to borrow some time, that they could give them some of
the problem. Because we've had this discussion in prior administrations, not just the last two, but part of the problem has been the small size of our department.
Right.
And in a town like Wilmington, you can move somebody out of trouble, but it's almost impossible to do that in a town our size. Yes?
So right now, we have no policy violence at all.
No, there's no language yeah. that we have. We would have to go by our ordinances, you know, police departments and things like that.
I think we need to at least do something working towards that, for sure.
Any other discussion?
Jim, the part that's not clear to me is there's a section labeled prohibited actions and sanctions.
Yes.
What are the sanctions? I couldn't.
The sanctions would be what we would put in our disciplinary procedure.
Okay. Do we have, I mean, that's what I was trying to see. It says, as provided in the disciplinary action suspension and dismissal policy.
Well, as Andy can tell you, the disciplinary policy is also open-ended. So the language in the disciplinary policy was not written to be specific, and only the items on the page is what you can get in trouble for. It was more of guidance, so that if we have something that doesn't fit into anything that's in language, based on what we feel, either as a council or some other agencies, like the police department involved in it, that would be outside of our area. But based on the way that we do things now, Sonny, if Sonny had a problem or one of his employees had a problem, he would handle it within these guidelines because he's the department head. When it got beyond the problem that he could handle, he would kick it upstairs.
So I guess my question is do we need to do something? I know that our current disciplinary policy is open-ended. But, for example, after it lists all of the things that are considered detrimental personal conduct, it has some things that I think would be covered under this policy. It calls for a pre-disciplinary conference.
Well, that fits in with our grievance or disciplinary procedures now anyway.
But I mean,
and Andy can probably address those more than I can.
I guess what I'm wondering about is in a case of physical attack or violence or threat, do we really want to go through a problem?
No, no. That would be handled immediately by the proper authorities.
Shot is in danger.
Yeah.
And I think the language. Andy, do you remember? There is, if I'm not mistaken, there is language in there that protects somebody immediately from physical harm.
Yeah. What I'm trying to do is just make sure that it refers to our dismissal policy. And I'm just trying to make sure that our dismissal policy, our disciplinary action suspension and dismissal policy anticipates some of the things we're trying to protect about it here. And it wasn't clear to me when I read the existing disciplinary policy that it had this covered. So that, I mean, I don't have a comment. I'm just trying to see if we need a new
So I think maybe in our preamble we can refer to what people said and also make this be adopted by resolution rather than.
Because that's the same way that our policy preamble puts it out, right?
So what Andy's saying is he's going to adjust it per our. For a resolution to pass this? Is that, am I correct on that in here now?
Yeah, I guess.
Play on the label mission. Next one?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I thought it was here today.
Need work on the preamble to this.
All right, would you like to withdraw your.
Sure.
Thank you.
Could we just make a motion that we direct the attorney to revise this and then bring it forward for a resolution and have it back to us by next month so we can adopt this?
Second.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
All right.
Mr. Panis, Ms. Clark, it's in your court. And the item we've all been waiting on, item number 7. Discussion of town and all the test code.
Okay.
You sold it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Good thing, sure.
Very nice. Beautiful.
I'm going to
Before you, in your packet, you have 4 exhibits to the dress code. Exhibit A is the dress code that we passed at the last council meeting. At that time, Commissioner Dubin brought up a couple of problems. For instance, in it, it said doctor pants for men. He asked me if that means they could only wear doctor pants. So I changed that to doctor style. And he asked if they only had loafers for men, shoes, and he asked if they possibly wear dress shoes. So it did not get put into the motion. As a result, we have to bring it back up tonight to discuss. Exhibit C, as the administration's liaison to the staff, they have suggested that I bring to you a dress code that they have worked on. And exhibit D is the copy of the Carolina Beach dress code, which is very, very similar to what staff has come up with. The problem is, when you try to tell someone exactly what to wear, the question is, and this is he did, the doctor, the dress code, what are you going to leave out, what are you going to miss? It's much better if the Carolina Beach and the statutes of state all say what you cannot do. There's a lot easier to put a list of what you can't do, rather than tell someone that this is the first dress, or this is you can do this or that the other. So their suggestion, and I'll read you their. As you may know, the dress code for Terry Reed's town hall was discussed and voted upon at the February council meeting. This topic has been issued with much discussion and consideration amongst council and staff. There were some issues with the policy that was adopted last month that needs to be addressed this month's meeting. In an effort to fully understand the employee's concern and request, the personnel officer requested staff to submit a dress code policy, including their recommendations. The staff worked diligently to establish a policy that's fair, uniform, and not overly restrictive, but still meets the business casual star requirements. They approached the policy from a different perspective than the original by using the same procedures as the North Carolina General Statute. This statute defines the things you cannot do as opposed to what you can.
This method directly addresses the unacceptable items of concern and eliminates the need for a long, extensive list of acceptable at the time. The staff is requesting council to consider the suggested policy. And as you can see on Exhibit C, what they have brought forth is really the same, almost the same list of items, as far as you know. You can't wear this, you can't wear that. It's almost exactly the same as Carolina Features. No, you can't do this, you can't do that. I would like to make the suggestion, but I know the council is very much against shorts, and they also opposed last time to not put in Capri pants. But I notice, I think, Barry, the one you brought to me, the teacher is saying that Capri pants is okay, but no shorts. I would like to make a motion that we accept Exhibit C with the fact that it could be no shorts.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Discussion?
And I'm still assuming that any department head would have the opportunity, if they saw something that was outside these guidelines that they thought was inappropriate, they could still make action.
I think they pretty well want to police themselves to get a third of this.
Any further discussion? All in favor of adopting revised C? Signal by
certain sure that motion is in there on no shorts or not that.
Casey, did you get that? Mm-hmm. All in favor of adopting Exhibit C, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Item number 8, Community Spirit Proclamation, and it's time for our Community Spirit Awards. Our head chairman here back there, and the resolution of the Curious Town Council, March 16, 2010. Whereas community spirit is an important part of what makes Pure Beach a great place to live, and whereas the citizens of Pure Beach and the Pure Beach Town Council are desirous in recognizing and increasing community spirit, and whereas the Pure Beach Community Center Committee annually recognizes those Pure Beach residents who have given of their time and talents to improve Pure Beach community, and whereas the Pure Beach Community Center Committee as said Saturday, March 27, 2010, as the day to celebrate community spirit and honor those residents who have been chosen for the community, for the Pure Beach Community Spirit Award. Therefore, let it be resolved that the Town Council of the Town of Pure Beach, Saturday, March 27, 2010, is hereby declared Community Spirit Recognition Day, Pure Beach, and all Pure Beach residents are encouraged to participate in the events of that day. Done under my hand this 16th day of March 2010.
Move that we adopt the resolution.
Second. Discussion? All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. None opposed? Mr. Burton, if you'll prepare this for the signature, I'll have it signed tomorrow.
Of the different items that we were talking about, so you had a better idea of what we were speaking about. There are some ones for like what a sign would cost roughly. I don't have any idea of how many signs we would need in the town of Curie Beach, but the price is there. We were talking about, and I talked to Chief Cooper about making Avenue N a one-way coming out to Fort Fisher, and then in those areas, repave where the blocks are now and repave all that. So that's something that we could consider doing. Changing the parking schedules on F and I trying to get some more parking inside the middle. That's why these pictures are there. These are mostly from the MPO studies. This is also the electronic sign that we were talking about, which MPO was talking about on Atlantic Avenue and on, not Atlantic Avenue, excuse me, on Alabama and on Hay Avenue. And it also has another sign on a wheel case for the use for the public works and police department. And that was like a $36,000. Now with this one, we would have to change the town ordinance on signage if we want to go ahead with this project. And we're also talking about making the signage and the parking map for the town of Kiri Beach, where it would be on the internet, and we could possibly work on that. And this estimate here, when we were looking at it, it was, just so you know, when we were looking at using some extra money, Snow gave us a price of redoing the old boardwalk and taking out every other bench and making them all ADA so that they could see it. And we got the price on that. It's not up to date now, but that's when we were going to go ahead with it. And of course, the flagpole for the police and fire, that you asked me to look into it, which I did, and that's $1,165 for a flag and a pole. Sonny said he would install it. The other items would be, they call it in-street pedestrian crossing. And this would be, I just estimated, possibly 17 locations on Fort Fisher Boulevard, where you would have that. You would have a sign like that installed. And then, of course, you would have also, you would have to pay the lines. So these are some of the projects that we were looking at as slab. Now, with that, you're going to have to ask the slab to come back to you guys to see what you would like us to go ahead with or not. Right now we have no money, so I don't know what your ideas of going ahead with any of these items. So you would have to come back or have a meeting with us and say we're going to go with items. You know, so it's very important. And then also with this, when we get the prices, we should have a rough estimate for our budget for SLAP for the upcoming year. So,
thanks. Tony, one thing, if you can get with Jim and Sunday, we have permission to put a catch basin on the state right away at the corner of the end. And he's probably going to take out that park and put an infiltration system in the percolation.
And all the way down?
Yes, sir, I think so. But he's planning on moving, you know, it's going to be in there working, so he's got to coordinate that, and Jim's aware of it.
Well, it's also, we were talking about making and a one-way coming out.
So that's
the thing. Yeah. I mean, these are all the ideas that we had, but there's a lot of other things that we have to get into motion.
We're trying to get this rolling, Rollins, so if you could prioritize that, get with the Chief, Sonny, and Commissioner Newman, I would appreciate it.
So okay.
We have a way, finally, to get the water off Fort Fisher Boulevard.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
You believe this is prioritized by money?
Roughly, yes. By money.
His first 9 to 10 cost very little revenue.
Well, I think we need to schedule a workshop.
We still have to sit down. Yeah. I'd like to get, just so you know, I would like to get these items done possibly before tour season starts, and that would help out the parking. Now, also with the parking, you know, the town of Kiri Beach, probably at that time, if we get more designated areas, we'll probably have to look at paid parking in the town of Kiri Beach. You know, that's the next step. I mean, to generate all these parking spaces, in all honesty, and to keep them for free, and for the town to upgrade and all the other stuff, we should start thinking about paid parking in the town of Kiri Beach.
Yep.
Any other questions?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Back there to what Tony was saying at the very last, paid parking. I've been hearing a lot of citizens' input as far as wanting some paid parking. As long as we can distinguish between our citizens and, you know, charging them and what we do for the day drivers.
Oh, absolutely.
I think it's an emergency.
And right. So we have a ride car.
I think if we can come up with some sort of thing, you would need to talk to Cooper and Sonny about that, I'm sure. I don't know.
I'm just bringing it out in general. I mean, that's a whole other...
Well, yeah, but I think you're right. We do need to start some discussion on it.
If I'm not mistaken, there was a presentation to the SLAP committee. We had two of them, and at that time, they figured about 411 parking spots. But this plan that he has here is going to jump to 700 and some, which makes a big difference as to what we could do, and then probably justify itself more. The more parking you have, the better that system works.
Well, so
something to review after these changes are made that make a big difference to come in.
Also, the parking gentleman who was in Carolina Beach called me, and he said he would be more than happy to come down and work with us. We're also talking about, I didn't even mention it out here, Eats Park, that whole area there. I mean, we want to pave it when the bathroom gets in, maybe put 50, 60 parking spaces there. If that. And the gentleman said from Carolina Beach said they would use the same people that manage Carolina Beach. They would come over here and manage ours. I mean, all this has to be worked out, sit down, but that's what the gist of his conversation was. So there's a lot of things to work out.
I'm pretty sure Carolina Beach is canning them.
Well, whatever. This here, what I gave you all to look at, is just the, what you would like to do or not do. But you have to come back to us and tell us what you want us as SLAP to do.
Just one comment. I'd like to make sure y'all use caution in the petty parking situations and any spots that we see can of grant money to.
That's true.
Because I know we jeopardize our relationship with them over the parking. And you and Mr. Keener, I think.
Yes, we agree on that. Like any of the beach entrances on the east side of Fort Fisher, they would be free. And anything on the west side would be paid.
Thank you, Tony. Alan, we don't have anything in the packet, so y'all have that too. Can you bring us up to the council?
Craig said he was sending us a memo. We talked about it the last meeting. He was going to.
Well, we're probably going to schedule a workshop here while you guys are on the show. Beautification.
I'm trying to stand up. I gave you folks a copy of a summary of what the Beautification Committee has thought should be done. And once again, part of this has to do with, the funding sources affected what, when, and what order. But, our number one priority would be following the, especially the last study by the NCC people, would be to brand the community. I hate that word, and I certainly don't want to have the Coca-Cola Beach community, but branding by implementing and expanding the plan for the uniform town signs, and this means not only Atlantic Avenue, which is what was discussed in the past, but also Tony's new parking signs, the Frisbee Court signs, street signs, information signs. We believe we need new town entry signs and new town hall and police department signs. And as much as possible, consolidate signs on a single post to try to get rid of some of the visual blight. Funding sources, possibly TDA money, possibly part of the Oceanfront grant, because they're going to need signs. And around that area, maybe we could do signs, uniform town signs that could come under that budget. The second most important item, I'm not sure if it's in priority order. This could be number one, right, Tony? Landscaping maintenance. We are getting more and more landscaping, and we're having trouble with the maintenance, and more plants are being lost. We have existing, and we're going to have the Oceanfront Park, we're going to have Atlantic Avenue in two or three decades. K Avenue planters we were going to put in, but there was a big, you know, we sit there and go in circles saying, okay, we can put planters on K Avenue, but we really cannot go over there every day and water them. Who's going to want? So anything we try to do, from the tiniest little, you know, $50 flower pot thing to whatever, we keep coming back to this need for landscaping maintenance. We have had three ideas, which are not mutually exclusive. One, contract with a knowledgeable outside company to take care of the town landscaping maintenance, especially the heavy maintenance such as mulching, and then assess the results and the cost before proceeding on that course. Alternative two, ask garden club volunteers to do light maintenance. This is a problem because there is no garden club. So then,
well, that's what the beautification committee started off with. You know that, right? Sort of. Yeah, that was before your time.
It was way before my time. And I can hardly sit stand, so there's no way I'm going to be able to do maintenance.
Right.
There is a garden club, you're telling me?
Well, there's not a garden club that I'm talking about, but there is the Island Women organization that has done a lot of planting and beautification down in Carolina Beach, and they're itching to do something in Curry Beach. They just need to be asked. They will not be able to do maintenance, but they would be able to do, I mean, they can't come here every day and water, but
that's
their
problem. Well, we could probably use some help and planting sea oats and beach grass and all kinds of things. But give me their person's name. Now, if you ask a garden club or Island Women or whatever to do maintenance, you may end up with cost because they may not necessarily, and I know I've said this before, they may not know what is a weed and what is a valuable plant. So there could be costs like that involved. We just be aware. Then the third idea is to assign a new public works employee or dedicate an existing public works employee or employees to landscape maintenance for a given number of hours per week or per month. Require these employees and pay for them to attend landscaping courses at the New Hanover County Arboretum. And then assess the results and the costs before proceeding on this course. That's the three things that the committee came up with. We think it's important to keep working with the Oceanfront Park Committee to make sure that we have an aesthetic design there that was free. We are recommending that Curie Beach become a tree city. This, I think Bob Falco sent all of you the information about what it takes. It will involve holding an annual Arbor Day event. John knows what it involves. You have to locate and identify places where you could be planting trees and so and shrubs and whatever. And basically, the benefit to the town from this is not only that we have more, you know, beauty and more environmentally friendly atmosphere, but we also have a better chance of getting grant money to get more trees. and John and Bob have already been trooping around town trying to figure out where lift stations and this place and that place where we could get more trees in on town property. This doesn't involve individuals. Also, I think if someone from council could contact AT&T, the former Bell South, about that little building down here that has nothing around it. It looks sort of like a what? But I learned that they do have somebody in charge of landscaping. So if someone from the town council asked them to come do something, maybe we could coordinate that in with the rest of the staff. And I don't know what the person's name is, but anyway. Okay, the B1 district. And we put this last only because the funding isn't likely. The number one thing would be to bury the power lines in the business district or move whatever Alan's figured out with his Congress Energy people about shifting transformers or whatever. Repaving the street and sidewalks, perhaps using cobblestones or I think stamped concrete was what we said to Al. In between Fort Fisher and the pier on KNF there. Replace the existing ugly orange sticks at the parking spaces in the middle of K Avenue by Big Daddy's. And Ken Withrow has come up with a plan that we could. Are you ready, honey?
When you say where are you on this now?
We could, because those parking spots are in there at an angle, we could take the triangle, cut it out of tape, and plant trees. A tree in each one of those little things.
Well, there's a problem there because those orange sticks, which I agree are the ugliest thing in the world, were not our original choice of closing that intersection. If you remember, Dennis, when we did that, that was something that the state made us do. Now, their original argument for it was that people were so used to going through that intersection that they needed some kind of visual cue to stop. And it may be that that's been closed long enough that we can do away with it. However, I'm not sure that they would like the idea of planting trees that might obscure the sight lines there. I don't know.
I don't think they're supposed to do that anyway.
The tree roots would, probably damage that pavement.
I think that's the right kind of tree. We're not very damaging ones.
I think we'd all like to get rid of those orange sticks.
Well, I'll get rid of them all if you want to.
And
the only thing that's sitting there, the other one's right there, that bumper block that we put on.
It's funny how a minute ago you said, we, I'm listening, and now you say, I can be left.
That's what it normally comes to.
We is usually I, right?
So you don't think they'd like, well, I've seen plenty of parking places that have trees. Shading the cars, and
I guess we just need to figure out
how to do it with the state.
And what? Yes.
Okay.
You're right. I agree with you 100%. That those would help.
They jump to it.
Okay. Now here's and that one. I don't think it would cost too big of a fortune. The next item is to invite local artist groups to exhibit sculptures and paintings and so forth. Especially if we are going to repave that area between, on chain between Fort Fisher and the Atlantic. And it could be something coordinated with the Oceanfront Park as well. And then there's a little note on here that says, number 5, hug your town attorney.
Yeah.
That was the end.
Okay.
You wrote that one. But I borrowed it, so I didn't.
Thank you.
Okay.
And Security Smart Thing Advisory Committee met this afternoon, and I think that Ann left, but she was there, and Bob Falco was there. And their thing, they didn't use the word branding, now they want to identifies as tribes, and because of funding restraints and budget problems, they want to move Security Beach in the direction more of social networking, Facebook and things like that. But when they had their minutes typed up, I'll include that. Would anybody like to make the motion to set up a workshop to get all these people sitting down at the same time?
I can move that we schedule a work session, schedule and advertise a work session for Wednesday, March 31st at 6:30 p.m. And ask, as part of that, that council members go through this information and come up with their own list of the things so that we can come out of that meeting with a list of priorities that we can go to the April meeting and hopefully vote on.
Well, they'll have their minutes, and I'm sure they have their minutes here at the time of the marketing meeting the next day, so
can I?
Okay.
What? Well, first we're going to, how about the third?
That's Tuesday.
Yeah, I'm trying to give it at least 2 weeks so people will have
time. Yeah.
The third is Councilor Gunn. How about
it? Not Tuesday.
We're on the 31st. Tony can't make it.
I'll be gone. I will be back. I'll leave a message slot you.
How about we going back
for April 7th?
We're going to the city. He's going to be gone.
I'll be back. March
29th. March 29th.
What day was that?
March 29th, Monday.
Yeah. Is that 5 a.m. at night? Can you get on it?
Okay.
Okay.
Well, what if we schedule it earlier, say 6 o'clock or 5:30, and that way y'all can be through with that?
Yeah.
Or whatever works in your work. I can.
So you're going to reschedule it for March 29th at 6 o'clock?
5:30.
And that's
the
Monday? Yes, ma'am. Monday, March 29th.
And we'll advertise that, Ms. Clerk, and make sure everyone knows it's an open meeting and everybody's welcome.
At that meeting, you want us to give you...
No, you're going to tell them that.
You're going to tell us
what we're killing.
You'll tell us.
We'll go through what you've given us, which is, you did break down, Tony, and we'll come up with... I hope what Tim suggested was we'll prioritize what your priorities are.
Okay. John Jordan deserves a lot of credit for what he did on that.
That was
a Bridget Grant.
Yeah,
Bridget Grant.
Yeah. An outstanding job.
Item number three, discussion and consideration of Atlantic Avenue and stop signs. I think everybody is up to speed on this.
Did y'all vote on that meeting?
I don't think so. Have a motion to have a meeting on Monday, March 29th at 5:30 p.m. for the joint consideration of the committee. Economic Development Studies and Wishes. Have a second.
Second.
All the members of the signify by saying aye.
Uh-huh.
All opposed? Thank you. All right. Item number three, discussion and consideration of Atlantic Avenue stop signs. And I think everybody up here realizes that the stop signs are there, and the Saturday afternoon that the young lady was referring to, we met and after talking with the chief and public works, they put the stop signs up at no cost to the town, I think, so you can correct me if I'm wrong, other than labor.
And well, we already have the signs, but
that's what I'm talking about, other than the labor involved. I spent the Sunday after the Saturday meeting down there, about an hour and a half, and observed firsthand what the residents were complaining about. And the speeds were sometimes pretty quick. 7 miles an hour, I didn't have the radar yet. And I would like to make a motion to keep the stop signs where they are as they are on Atlantic Avenue.
you don't have a separate pool. Okay.
I would like listen to what we're talking about here. There's no question about we need speed control on Atlantic. The members of the council weren't consulted on this before it was done, which is an issue that we have to work out among ourselves. There are some procedural questions that we have to work out. There's also the fact that there were a number of town committees working on signage in that area, speed control things in that area. There's also the fact that at a December special council meeting, did you find a that this was on the agenda, but there's much to do about the speed bumps was on the agenda at a meeting of the council, I think in December, at a special meeting, and it was deferred to this council, and we've never acted on it. All of those taken together is something that I don't think just plunking the stop signs down there, and we've also had feedback from citizens that, you know, there may be an issue with the DOT using stop signs in the middle of the block simply for speed control. So those are all issues that need to be addressed. What I would like to suggest is that council agree to leave the signs up temporarily as they are until a permanent solution can be worked out, and work as fast as we can to come up with that permanent solution, because we are all mindful that we need to control the speed on there. But for all of those things that I just listed, this is something that, you know, puts the other four of us in an awkward position, and we're trying to deal with it as best we can. So my motion would be that as a temporary measure, the stop signs stay up, that committees that were working on it keep working on it and get back to us with recommendations. Because one of the things you have in your list, Candace, is the uniform signage and the branding. Well, I don't think those big red octagons are, you know, what y'all had in mind, you know. So what we're trying to do is deal with an immediate issue and then some other underlying issues. So that's why I would suggest that if rather than say they're going to stay, that we say they're there temporarily until we can work out a better plan. That's my motion.
Do we have a second?
May I ask a question? Oh, did you second?
I did, yes.
Time for
temporary.
Can the floor ask a question at this point?
Sure.
Do you mean until we work out a better solution? What if this is the better solution?
Well, that may be.
Okay.
I don't know. But like I say, this is something that, there were people working on this, and originally the plan was to put speed bumps back. So I don't know.
Well, what we were told and have understood is that the money for the speed bumps disappeared in March, and this is March.
No,
we still have the contractors down here, and those are still in the contract.
So
I think they'll be here for us.
Once they're gone,
they're gone.
Yes, the contractors are gone.
Can I ask a question? We had speed bumps, and they were ineffectual. Stop signs are working, and my request is that you talk about the stop sign between the blocks and one, the crossover between Elm and Edward. There's a crossover between Elm and Inn, and while you're considering stop signs, I would ask you to consider putting one there too.
Okay. What I would like us to do is just take a look at the whole thing. And I don't mean for this to drag on. I'd like to have whoever has an iron in this fire get back to us by the April meeting. Maybe we can push this along and get it done. But I just don't think that, just plunking those signs down there arbitrarily like they were is the final solution.
The effect has been outstanding.
Long
enough one.
Yes, yes.
The crossover, is that what that is, the crossover?
Yes.
Yes, it's an entry ramp.
My question is, who's to use that? That's the better. Outside of the intersections, that's the only place where somebody can walk across
There are two entry ramps, and both of them are in mid block.
Well,
again, correct me if I'm wrong, but on the west side of Atlantic Avenue is private property.
The entire west side of Atlantic Avenue is private property.
So anybody who is using the crosswalk is walking on somebody else's property in Gidsburg.
They're walking in the street because they can't get off the road.
What's the sense of a crosswalk if they're walking in the street?
I don't think that pavement extends over to the right-of-way, does it, sir?
Not all the way to the
bank. So they're not walking on somebody's property, they walk on the town right away.
Now, you don't have a whole bunch of room, but it's not all
the way. That's the wall.
How much?
Yeah, there's a little bit of room between
them. It's different on every house. 5 feet at my house.
All right, we have a motion. Mary, yes.
I don't think that the question is at all that this has been effective or not. I think the question has been and is about the proper way to go about doing this, and also making sure that the current people that are working on signs are communicating with and making sure that we do get the uniform signs that we're all trying to get towards the beginning.
Do you have money for those signs?
No, ma'am, I don't. It would be your money, actually.
Right. May I add one more thing? At the meeting, the Saturday meeting, we were discussing these issues, and I swear to you, under the impression that money disappeared at the end of March, and that something really had to happen. I was told that the town attorney, whom we all are hugging today, said that the police chief could put up a stop sign anywhere he wanted. All you had to do was notify you so that you would have a record somewhere.
He recommends where the signs go.
Right.
But it requires approval count.
Okay. Well, that was not what I understood from that.
Well, that's neither here nor there. I just hope that nobody sitting up here has to explain to a parent when they're burying their child that we drove, had this out, and some good stop signs up taken someplace.
We're being a little melodramatic here.
I mean, it would take you 10 minutes to call. Every one of us up here has a cell phone. And it would have taken you 10 minutes to call every one of us up here. If you don't have the numbers, we'll get them for you. And say, fellas, this is what we're talking about. This is what we need to do. Here's what the police chief and the attorney have suggested to us. And we would have all gone along with it. But to go out there and do something and come back and say, this is a done deal, and if y'all don't back us up on it, then, you know, you can answer to some mother whose child has been run over. That's good something.
Well, that's what I observed sitting out there for an hour on Sunday.
How many fatalities have there been on Atlantic Avenue? I understand it's an urgent problem, but for you not to take, I mean, I listened to you for 2 years rail about being cut out of the loop and decisions being made without you being included, and then that's exactly what you're doing.
Well, I thought it was right.
That's not the issue. It wouldn't have taken you 10 minutes to talk to all four of us and have us concur that it was the right decision.
Well, it's my understanding that at least you could do that, but I was just... I
don't care if NASA themselves were going to launch a lower rocket and land them here and it was all part of the policy. You still should have called the four of us.
Okay.
It's common courtesy.
There you go.
And it has nothing to do with, you know, with all this other stuff.
Okay.
Well, can you please, like, be nice and get back and touch the feeling mode so that we can...
I'll hug the attorney as soon as we can. Seriously.
I understand. I don't need to know anymore.
This council acts as a council.
Yes.
And we are five equal members of this council. And we all want to do the right thing. And we want to do it the right way.
Fine.
Any further discussion?
Yeah, the motion was that they're temporary until we work
on it.
All in favor, signify the same
hand.
Opposed? Item number four. This you have in your packet, discussion and consideration of burial, parallel burial between 450 Boulevard and Atlantic Avenue. If you have some of the property owners where this map is laid out. They have been in touch with Progress Energy. And Progress Energy has told them that if they come up with $17,799.70, they will take the screen of power lines between the back of his house and bury it. And I would like to make, did everybody get the map?
Yeah. It was my understanding that that was for their house only.
What if they $17,000?
That's why they're coming to you.
$700,000. But this is the first step in burying these power lines, and I would like to ask if we could, Commissioner Dugan and as Public Works do research this and come back to council with much that we have in that. If you could touch base with the current property owners and see if they're amenable to this, if they are good, if they're not.
The property owners involved are the ones, the addresses that are highlighted.
Right. Right. But any property owner that's not worth paying for it, then that takes care of that. Yes, sir.
That's why it was worth 17.5. That was for the whole project.
Yeah.
No, it's just from the poll of 1816, which is there's 20 and 21, 14. I don't actually see
7.16.
We remove all power lines from AG16 to AG20. So it would look like at most, if that's 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, we're talking about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 poles.
Were either of you two involved in this?
By your side.
There's a name written at the bottom of this, Mr. Klein. Would he be from the power company?
No. He's the resident.
Okay. He'll be the first phone call.
He's the one requesting this, he and his wife. Right.
But you also should take it, it is pretty ugly.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's this huge canister thing with all sorts of spaghetti hanging out.
Yeah, it looks like a birdcage.
I agree. It looks hideous. In fact, I think all the above ground power lines are to be buried. One step at a time. Okay, we'll start now. It's demonized.
I think everybody knows that Waste Management has given the town of Pier Beach 11. Say what size of those cans?
They're the same size as garbage cans.
95 gallon
trash cans, some wheel trash cans, and they have said that they will pick them up after any town sponsored event and recycle them for $25.
And that's a piece, right?
No, that's for all of them.
All of them.
All of them. Yes, ma'am.
They're not going to pick them up. We're just going to give them what was in them. It's $25 for the whole thing.
Okay. $25 worth of recyclables. Okay.
Right.
All right.
How do we get the stuff to them?
Do we wheel the car out to the road for them?
She said they're not going to pick them up.
I mean, they will come here to pick up what's in them, but they're not going to pick up the cans and take them back. We will continue to keep those 11 cans here. And I guess we'll have to have the recyclable product in clear plastic bags.
So somebody's going to have to take the contents of these cans, put them in recycled in clear plastic bags.
Well, that's what, no, that's the common sense way to do it, and then they'll pick it, you know, they'll take the recyclables from these cans for a $25 pickup fee.
For an event.
Right. And these will be used only at town-sponsored events so that we can recycle.
Well, we do have recycling bins at all the beach accesses, correct, Sam?
No.
Most of them do, yes.
Yes, sir.
But they were not used like the street festival in particular, you know, that meant to get together, they're not being used.
All the beach accesses. Well, there are long streets. I said most of them. You go down there and then down this way. Those are the ones that they never get picked up, and they have to dump with the garbage because the container will be done. But we pay the recycling people to do that. That's the one we're talking about at the
Yes, the blue there now are continuing to be contaminated. These will be used only at town-sponsored events. Like Mother said, you could place a bag in it, they would pick them up for $25. And Mo, as part of her environmental duties with the Stormwater Committee, would like, Mo, you want to take the podium on this?
I'm still trying to figure out if they can make a pickup for $25. You ain't paying for it, I'm getting arrested. I'm going to say, Riley, Chuck, there's $4,000 a month for the rest of the time. Is this waste management or waste industry? Is this
waste management?
It's actually waste management. And this came about, if you all remember, I was here last year after the Curry Beach Street Festival when Sunny came to my rescue and provided one recycle bin. Dean and I went down to Recycle America and talked to Tracy, and the $25 per event fee is strictly goodwill. I mean, it doesn't even cover the cost of what it will cost them to come down and get it from us.
This was a gift to the town when we had town events, basically what she said to us.
Right, and you know, in my hopes and dreams, I don't see any reason why it couldn't be, you know, these couldn't be loaned out, reciprocated with Carolina Beach if they needed them, or Fort Fisher down at the military base. I mean, that's something that's up to your decision, but, you know, these are specifically going to be for recycling in our town, for the events in our town. Now, the big problem is going to be, because of what Sunny's saying at the beach accesses, I monitored G Street access all summer, last summer, and many, many, many times. Yes, it was a recycle bin. Yes, it had a hole in the top. And yes, it had McDonald's wrappers and dirty diapers. So there's got to be a way that we can educate the public and then we can also help them distinguish the difference between the trash can and the recycle can. So that recycle has to look really, really different.
Yeah. And in that light, Mo is working or going to work with Carolina Beach Elementary to see what we can do about getting some of those, like our shirts.
When do you plan to do that?
Well, I don't know. That's We just got our environmental committee started.
I'm not putting those cans out there at Spring Festival unless they're cleaned up. I mean, they're painted up or something.
Well, hopefully they will be able to be steam cleaned because they just came in a week or two ago and we didn't know the condition.
Well, we can steam clean. That's not a problem. But they're going to have to be more than that. My understanding is that the kids are going to paint them up and all that, right?
Tracy showed us pictures of an elementary school that had painted their recycle can. And I went down and I met with Mrs. Mazzella at the Carolina Beach Elementary. And she said that was not her school. So I went to Mo at the paint store and said, what kind of paint can we use that'll be able to be put on plastic, that'll be non-toxic for the kids to use and stand up to the elements? And he was kind of baffled. So I went back to Mrs. Mazzella, and she's going to find out from Tracy who has those cans, and we're trying to put that in place as fast as we can.
And thank you for joining Stormwater Environment.
Thank you for accepting me.
So, what's your council?
What are we going to ask for the
But the first thing is going to be a little bit of a budget item for the tank. and Sunday said he could clean them up. And seven of them would be going to the Carolina Retail Elementary School. We saw what comes out if they got there tonight, but the kids would paint them as earth-friendly, recyclable pants. They would be used by the town for town events.
Now, there is also, Dean was talking about some stickers being made or designed first that explains recyclable and that kind of thing, possibly to be put on these cans also.
My suggestion is going to be that we can pair one recycle with every trash. So when we have a town event, how many trash bins do we have down there? Like for the street festival, how many trash bins?
Probably 15, maybe? 15, 20?
Okay.
Well, yeah, you know, already done. We have a lot in the park area this year.
So, Sonny, could you get them cleaned up and she can do the paperwork on the things?
I'd love to clean them and lay them and take them to those little kids, and I'll even chaperone and watch them paint them.
Thank you.
That'd be cool. Thank you.
Is that the council's wishes?
Yeah. And then the council will pay for the paint for the kids?
I think that we've got,
well, we're not
got the general fund.
We're not going to write a blank check. I mean, it could be very expensive.
We're going to limit the cost of paint to $100.
How many cans are we talking
about?
I don't know what kind of paint is on the video.
Yeah.
It could be very expensive paint.
I know.
It could be painting on the plastic and it could stick.
You may want to take a look at some decals. It might be already stopped decals. You have to put on those things because they're really tough to get paint to stay on there.
That's right.
Well, that's why I think the next step was to go to Tracy and Mrs. Mazzella to figure out who painted their carts before and if it actually lasted. But I love the idea of what the kids did with those t-shirts. You know, maybe they could do designs and we could have those made into some kind of decals to put on them. Cans and the paint doesn't work.
Another idea, they have advertised on television on HGTV this new spray paint that sticks to plastic and will last forever and, you know, so on. What about a stencil? So they could do something and cut it out and then put the colors on it.
Well, if the kids were to come up, like somebody suggested, they come up with it. So one thing to recognize is
stick on.
And these roll-out carts are specifically going to be for cans and bottles, you know, so it's not like we want you to recycle everything. We're strictly going for the cans and bottles.
I think that's better.
Gentlemen, you're going to give us some direction here. Sonny said he would clean them up, and you want her to work with the two ladies and come up with a plan?
I'll make a motion and go find out how much we're looking at as far as cost and work with the two ladies she had talked about to come up with some sort of a design for these.
Well, cans. We need to work in fairly quickly because we have a spring festival coming up. April the 24th.
How soon did you think that
they're not coming out there the way they look right now?
Well, no. That Dean was talking about some kind of
if they had some direction. But if the kids came up with a design and then, you know, incorporate the spring festival, don't put a date on it. You know, the spring festival is always the last Saturday in April, but that would be generic enough date to come up with something like that.
Well, really, these aren't specifically for the Spring Festival only. They're for recycling and current needs.
It would still let you know that we're having a Spring Festival. We always say the last Saturday, though. I mean, you know, that'll think that would hurt. Anyway.
I don't know. I'll let Mo use her.
Okay.
But if we're going to give them some money,
yes,
we're
going to
give them some money. If we're going to give them some money, we need to give it to them tonight. Because if we wait until April, there must be time to get it done by the 24th. That's what Sonny's trying to tell us.
Right. Any idea on what we should do? should we set it at $250? I mean, is that reasonable? I mean, we've got how many? Seven of them. That breaks it down to $50.
Well, there are 11 that Dean talked about, people put the cows on some of them.
Yeah. Yeah, but the total of 11.
There's total of 11.
What's the date?
What's that?
I mean, the elementary school kids, all they're going to do is pick cans and bottles on them and recycle them.
That's right.
Silly stuff. I mean, they're not going to, you don't need 20 gallons of paint to complete the color. They're just going to take a bigger paint.
Or do the same design they did for the t-shirts.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got to
do it right
there. You're back to the green cloud that that family teacher.
Have you got any idea on what this might cost? Do you think $200 would cover it?
I was waiting for Mrs. Mazzella to call me back and tell me what kind of paint to look for, because the local paint company doesn't have a paint, so.
Would y'all like to give Bud permission to spend up to $200 if that doesn't cover paint all of them? And if paint works, it was a key. This way, I don't know
if I just need an amount.
Yeah.
Will you bring it back to China?
All in favor, signal by saying aye. All opposed? Mo, you have $200.
Thank you.
Okay. Item number six. Weekend.
Consider the president. Your friend. The Citizens Finance and Budget Advisory Committee met and asked that we change their meeting date to the second Tuesday of every month at 6:30 p.m. to avoid a conflict that several of the members have already. And they also sent a mission statement. And I don't know if y'all had a chance to read it. Do you know where a copy of that is,
Keith?
I know, I didn't see that.
I have to change the answer here.
Yeah.
Did you get a copy of it, Sonny?
I did, but I didn't bring it with me.
I know you were the one who had asked.
I did.
If you can't find it, I have it on email here.
If you
better
bring
one copy, look at that. Well, we could have read it. Let's pass on A and make the next one. Sure. Maybe. I guess we can wait for the email.
No.
Item number seven.
Peter.
When we hired
velvet marbles.
Yeah, marbles.
For out front, his 6 months comes up next Monday. So we need to extend his probation period for 60 days.
We can only go 30. 30 at a time.
That doesn't cover until the last meeting, so what we do in the meantime, if it's still going on, and especially before we get to the next meeting, that 30 days is not going
to
cover.
Just have to have a special meeting, as Candace says.
We're hoping to be explored by then. Okay, so we need to, I make a motion that we extend Doug on probation period for 30 days.
Second.
Any questions?
Any discussion? All in favor, signal by saying aye. Opposed?
The next thing is, we also found out about the same time that he was to accumulate one day vacation for that every month. And it also should be paid for holidays. We discovered that in December, and he paid him for Christmas. And he has been accumulating vacation days. However, he wasn't paid for November. Did you get the number? You were supposed to get the number for me. How much it was? Okay. Everybody know what his pay is?
Well, you just want to make a motion to.
I want to make a motion to pay for November. Hey, for 1 day's pay.
What is due?
1 day's pay.
And it's no more rate?
Yes.
All right.
Did you make that motion?
Yes.
Second.
All in favor, good discussion. All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
The next is the same thing, except it's for Mandy Cummings. She worked here for 6 months. Now she's been here for over a year. But the first 6 months, she didn't accumulate any vacation days, oversight past council. She also didn't get paid for holidays.
An oversight of past council, an oversight of past administrator.
Okay. I make a motion that she added 6 vacation days to her and that she be paid $276 for 3 days.
What's the difference? I saw it, Joe, and I think I already signed the check. I think
it
came across my desk already.
Well, maybe we would because
if we rolled up, you know, Jennifer saying that there is a budget amendment that needs to be discussed and approved at the March 16th meeting. We were approved for a grant in the amount of $95,000 for the land acquisition of the park. I need to amend the budget to show the revenue and expense of these funds. This needs to be done and submitted before funds will be sent to us. I did not get this on the agenda. Is there a way we can still get this discussed and approved? And I told her that I would amend the agenda tonight and bring this in. This is not going to affect the county expenditure funds. It's simply an accounting thing so that we can claim the grant money. And she didn't prepare the budget amendment at home, so what I'd like to do is make a motion that we direct the finance officer to prepare a budget amendment accounting for these funds as outlined, and that she submit that so that we can claim those funds for the land acquisition of the park.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, item number 10.
I thought we were going to get on a number.
Yeah,
okay.
All right. Do I have a motion to go into closed session to discuss personal matters under Casey under section what?
I gave you the sheet.
Well, if you did, somebody did.
Thank you.
Anyway, do I have a motion to go into closed session for personnel reasons?
So move
back.
We'll
be back.
We got a little bit of
a quick here. All right, thank you for saying that. I don't know. We'll be back.
We'll
see
you. We'll
be back. I'm here.
What?